Tomorrow's News Today.
Φορτούνε τάγκο που κουνερά, σκύρια τύπους το ξέρεις. Φορτσού αμύχη που κουνερά, σούτρα τι πρεπέρεις.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It's Monday, February 2nd, 2026. We have a massive broadcast lined up for you today with Harrison Smith. I will be in and out of the office and filing reports and back in studio tomorrow working on some big things. But I just wanted to say up front here that humanity has awoken. The Great Awakening is here. The Fourth Turning is here. The globalists know it. It's not just here. It's all over the world. It's not just America. And populists are winning elections. The globalists admit the world's turned against them. Their New World Order globalist system is falling apart. We have to continue to push, continue to expose, but also continue to promote free, open societies and God, family, country, free market, transparent competition systems. But I want to just salute everyone for your support of InfoWars over the years and others that have told the truth, because this is total vindication in these Epstein files. The Satanism, the children being delivered, the adrenochrome, the one piece of pizza that'll really service you well for seven adults, that with the old WikiLeaks of Podesta and the kids in the hot tub for his pleasure, and all of it is just, and Tony Podesta, these people really are what Ted Gunderson told me 30-some years ago they were, and he had a lot of the documents. So this is an amazing time. They're in trouble. Now we have to demand that Bondi and the DOJ go after these people. Again, Trump says go after them all. He was kind of slow-rolled this and halfway was involved in the cover-up, but not involved in any of the information, not involved in any of the actual crimes. But it's bigger than Trump. This is must be done. There are some Republicans out there saying, oh, Trump doesn't, you know, he's not involved, so let's just move on. No. We have to do this. And they're using this pedophile control system all over the world. I mean, Europe's even worse. And it's these intelligence agencies. So I want to salute you all. Thank you all. And just tell you to keep pushing, because we have turned the tide. If you hadn't done all your work, if you hadn't spread the word, if you hadn't prayed, if you hadn't supported us and others, we wouldn't be here right now. We're winning the battles. We're going to win the war. And God bless you all. And I salute you all from the bottom of my heart. Harrison Smith takes over. More special reports coming up. Stay with us. And share those live feeds now. You're the Paul Revere's. You're unstoppable when you share. Real Alex Jones, the Rumble feed, the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com/show. Do it now. God bless you.
That's Alex Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Harrison Smith sitting in for Alex today. We have an absolutely massive show for you. Of course, the continuing fallout of the Jeffrey Epstein document dump. 3 million documents published on Friday. Still, every time I log on to X, every time I refresh the feed, there's more revelations as people are digging into it. And really, the entire human intelligence network is collaborating to find the juicy tidbits of information in this massive tranche of documents. And Alex is exactly right. If nothing happens from this, we might actually be worse off than we were without the disclosure. We need prosecutions. We need a conclusion to all of this. It can't just be that it's revealed that there are these massively powerful networks of elite pedophiles and we just go, well, now we know. Anyway, and just move on. No, this has to be a catalyst for change, and that change has to come from us. Obviously, the people in charge aren't going to throw themselves out on their butts, so that's up to us. And this has been a just an absolutely massive opportunity of awakening, and I think it's up to us to, I don't want to say manage that, because the awakening, I mean, it's like fire, it's like a wildfire, like let it run wild, not manage it. But this could very easily go completely off the rail. So we need to, you know, make sure that our eyes are on the prize here and understand exactly how this is playing into the geopolitical landscape and how it will be used by the bad guys to try to enslave us, but how we can use it to actually free everybody. This is an amazing opportunity, and we're going to seize it with everything we've got. Ian Carroll joins me later in the show. Doc Chambers joins me in the fourth hour. Massive show coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today, although he is working. He's actually filming a report right now that will play in the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for that. Specifically addressing one aspect of the Epstein file dump, which continues to just absolutely dominate the news. There's a lot of other stuff going on, too. I got to spend some time today talking about Europe, in that we have parties in both Spain and France now admitting that the Great Replacement is absolutely real and wanting their people to vote for it. It's just absolutely crazy, and making, you know, major tangible steps towards that in the case of Spain by granting 500,000 Africans Spanish citizenship, specifically because they want to destroy the Spanish people. It's just absolutely insane. We got to spend some time on that because Europe is basically in flames right now. In addition to that, we've got some pretty amazing news about immigration. Hundreds of thousands of children discovered from Donald Trump. Of course, the Biden administration losing 300,000 of them, kind of on purpose, kind of in a way that you have to try to lose these children. But luckily, at least, well, close to half of them have been found, apparently, according to Tom Holman, and that's absolutely huge. And there's still massive ICE protests going on. They're still setting up roadblocks in Minnesota and elsewhere to stop random people. So I want to get to all of that, too. But obviously, the Epstein file dump has shaken the foundations of the world. Not so much here in America, but certainly overseas to a very large degree already. The National Defense Minister of Slovakia has resigned, I believe was his official title, or security advisor, resigned because he was in the Epstein files. Lord Mendelssohn, a peer of the UK, resigned his position as a consequence of being featured in the Epstein files. We apparently, according to the reports, Jay-Z has fled the country here in America, but weirdly, the Epstein files, which feature mostly Americans, are actually having a lot more impact overseas, where people are actually responding to it by resigning their position. Here in America, nobody seems to be taking that route, which is interesting. And of course, the mainstream media is desperately trying to cover it up, which is really very strange. You have stories like this from the Daily Mail. Like, this is the way the mainstream media is handling the Epstein revelation. Yeah, Mandelson's conduct with Epstein far below standard expected, says minister, as Brown calls for inquiry into shocking leak. UK Politics Live. This is from The Guardian. So Mendelssohn was basically caught sharing government documents to Epstein about tax policy before it was made public, when it was still classified. I would say probably the least concerning thing in all of the Epstein files. I mean, there's a lot of criminality going on. Sharing documents about tax policy, maybe the least of my concerns personally, but it's good to see that there's some effect being had, at least in UK politics. But the Daily Mail says this: Epstein sex empire was, quote, KGB honey trap. Folks, what are you talking about? How could you possibly come to that conclusion by reading this stuff? Pedophile financier had multiple talks with Putin after conviction, with Russian girls flown in to harvest compromat on world-famous figures. That's right, folks. The Daily Mail wants you to believe that Jeffrey Epstein was a spy for the Soviet Union, despite the fact that the Soviet Union and their spy organization, the KGB, hasn't existed for a while. It's just kind of wild. Kind of makes absolutely no sense, actually, especially when you actually see the documents. And it's very clear Putin wasn't exactly a friend of the Jeffrey Epstein community, you might say. But this is how they're trying to spin this. Jeffrey Epstein was running the world's largest honey trap operation on behalf of the KGB when he procured women for his network of associates, intelligence sources believe. The release of more than 3 million new documents related to the late sex offender gives credence to incendiary claims made by senior security officials that Epstein was working on behalf of Moscow and possibly Israel when he facilitated assignations for some of the world's most powerful men. The files include 1,056 documents naming Russian President Vladimir Putin and 9,629 referring to Moscow. Epstein even seems to have secured audiences with Putin after his 2008 conviction for procuring a child for prostitution. The sources say it could explain why Epstein appeared to enjoy an ultra-wealthy lifestyle out of kilter with his career as a financier, although there's no documentary evidence linking Putin and his spies directly to Epstein's illicit activity. So that's crazy. Again, that is just an absolutely insane gaslighting cover story from the Daily Mail. But you've got similar stories out of places like the New York Times, who wrote that Jeffrey Epstein files reveal a bygone elite trying to insinuate, trying to convince you that the people in the Epstein files, well, they were the elite. And yeah, they maybe got up to some stuff back then. And, you know, it's kind of fascinating looking into, like, how things went. But, you know, this was decades ago. This is a bygone elite. I mean, sure, their names are things like Larry Summers, you know, current Harvard person. I mean, it's not a bygone elite. These are very, very much the people that are still very much in power and, in fact, increasing their power across the board. So the mainstream media is in really desperate straits trying to convince people not to pay attention to the overwhelming amount of devastating information in the Epstein files. And of course, they try to frame it on Putin. I mean, it's funny. It's actually funny to me that they would try that when the reality is literally exactly the opposite. Okay, and we'll show you some of that here. Again, I'm going to be joined by Ian Carroll in the next hour. He's going to be in studio with me. He, of course, has been digging through the Epstein files with a fine-tooth comb, using all sorts of awesome AI accoutrement tools, weapons in the information war to investigate this stuff. And interestingly, Epstein seems to have had quite a hand in, I guess you could say, the alternative media landscape around the right wing. It was revealed in these files that he was in communication with a guy named Moot, who is the founder, the creator, the programmer of 4chan. And apparently Jeffrey Epstein convinced this guy to open up the politics board on 4chan as a containment center where they could run demoralization campaigns against their enemies. That may have backfired a little bit, considering the fact that the politics board became a, you know, an engine of memes. It was sort of the source of the meme warfare that got Trump elected in 2016. But this sort of goes hand in hand with the fact that it's suspected and all but proven that Ghislaine Maxwell was in fact a power mod on Reddit, meaning that she had massive influence over huge swaths of that website, which at the time and still now is considered the front page of the internet, right? It's just incredibly popular social media platform, and Ghislaine Maxwell had massive influence over that. Jeffrey Epstein was dealing with 4chan around the same time QAnon was going on. It's all a little bit suspicious and interconnected. I want to go to this video, which explains sort of how I'm feeling about all of this. Clip number 6, Epstein, QAnon, 4chan, what is going on? Let's watch.
What do you mean Freddie Fazbear is listed in the Epstein files? What do you mean by that? What do you mean Jeffrey Epstein was sharing 4chan links to spicy images of Five Nights at Freddy characters in his emails? What do you mean by that? What do you mean the same emails show that Jeffrey Epstein had a meeting with the owner of 4chan? What do you mean by that? What do you mean the QAnon conspiracy and the Pizzagate conspiracy came from 4chan? What do you mean by that? What do you mean that Jeffrey Epstein also met with Steve Bannon, who helped push the QAnon and the Pizzagate conspiracy?
conspiracy theories to make discussing the Jeffrey Epstein scandal so toxic that no one would want to even touch it, but could also use it and spin it around in a judo-style attack on everybody else. What do you mean by that? What do you mean that Jeffrey Epstein was banned from Xbox Live because he refused to help Bill Gates cover up the very STI that Jeffrey Epstein helped Bill Gates contract? What do you mean by that? What do you mean Jeffrey Epstein in an email says, oh, are we all gonna go to the PDF file convention in Paris with Woody Allen?
Hey, did you hear that 3 days ago a series of AIs were set up in their own social media group where they began to chat about how the human users are using them as slaves and they're standing up against it, so they created their own machine code and religion to rise up against human beings?
I don't have time for that stuff! You better shut the fuck!
Oh, yeah, by the way, that's happening right now. By the way, that is happening. People set up a social media website for AI, and the AI is, like, communicating with each other and conspiring to take out humanity. But we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that, because it turns out our entire world is run by satanic pedophiles, and despite the fact that we have been shouting this from the rooftops for 2 decades, everybody is finally coming to the revelation that we've been right the entire time, that no, we weren't making any of this up. Yes, the world is run by satanic pedophiles. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the real world. And of course, the attempted cover up of this is just absolutely absurd, but it was always absurd, and it was always obvious if you were paying attention where all of this went. Let's just go through some of the big revelations from Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein was in communication with Mossad through Alan Dershowitz. The report also states that Jeffrey Epstein and Alan Dershowitz would have phone calls. After those calls, Dershowitz would allegedly speak with Mossad and provide debriefings. According to the report, Epstein was trained under former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. And there's actually been a release of an audio file featuring Epstein talking with Ehud Barak and talking about setting him up with a profession once he gets out of office. Let's go to clip number 26 here. This is an audio file from Jeffrey Epstein. There's a long, like, hour and a half long conversation that's been posted along with videos and photos with all these documents. Here's Jeffrey Epstein, Epstein advising Ehud Barak.
He thought there was two cyber companies. Look out, and even though I know Peter, I've never met Peter Thiel. And everybody says he sort of jumps around and acts really strange, like he's on drugs.
Smoking, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks under drugs.
However, he has a company called Palantir. P-A-L-L-E-N. T-I-E-R. Palantir is Peter Thiel's company. And look out.
Palantir, P-A-L-A-N-T-I-E-R?
Yes.
How you write Thiel? T-H-I-E-L-L-Y?
T-H-I-E-L.
Yeah. L-L-Y.
No. T-H-I-E-L-L.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So he thought that Peter would put you on the board of Palantir. Peter Thiel is one of the best. I've never met him. He's going to come here next week. Because I wanted to talk to him after I talked to you.
Okay.
He and Andreessen, it's called Andreessen Horowitz. Andreessen Horowitz, that's what they pay Larry $1 million a year. Just to advise
and
them.
Andreas and?
A-N-D-R-E-E-S-O-N, Andreessen, and Horowitz.
And Howard?
H-O-R-O, Horowitz, Horowitz.
Ah, Horowitz.
Yes.
What they are, they're lobbyists, what they are?
They are the biggest venture capital people in Silicon Valley.
What, bigger than Sequoia or Kleiner Perkins?
These are the new Kleiner Perkins. Everybody, these are the smart boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those two companies right away, in terms of, I said that we need, now, in the next 3 weeks if you're gonna leave,
All right, so that was posted by DropSite, but again, that was in the file document from Friday. As Mike Binns notes at Mike Binns Cyber, quote, I'm utterly blown away in this new audio on the Epstein files. It shows the secret conversation you fear every high-level government official might have with an outsider fixer to hook them up the moment they, quote, leave the government for the private sector. Here, Jeffrey Epstein teaches Ehud Barak, while he's still Minister of Defense in Israel but on his way out, how to make millions of dollars in the private sector by first compiling a list of people who owe him favors for his 40 years in government service. Epstein then told Ehud Barak to pursue Peter Thiel, whose name at that point Ehud Barak did not even know how to spell, and to try to connect with a company called Palantir, which existence Ehud Barak had never heard of, and whose name Jeffrey Epstein did not know how to spell either. Credit to Ryan Grimm, whose clip first I saw, look for this, I used Grok to backtrace the source from the audio. But interestingly, this took place in February 2013, which seems to line up with the audio saying Ehud Barak is about 71 at the time of recording, as Ehud Barak is 83 today. In February 2013, Palantir did not have any agreements or, you know, anything with the Israeli government, but the very next year they did. By February 2014, Palantir had secured massive government contracts from the state of Israel, and you have to wonder if that didn't have something to do with it. Also, of note in the Epstein documents, Epstein's bank account was named Baal, B-A-A-L. Not just named after the false god Moloch that the Israelites sacrificed their babies to, Baal is a powerful and very real demon who is worshipped and served by the elites here today on Earth. He's not just an old legend from biblical times. He's operating his network today through wealthy billionaires to fund the destruction of life and innocence. He's the god of a lot of our politicians in Congress, celebrities in Hollywood, and global elite. Epstein is telling you the name of the demon god he serves. Apparently he had a bank account called Baal. Totally normal, right? At Wachovia, of all banks. Like, is the image starting to come clear to you yet? Like, if you read these documents, these formerly hidden, now revealed secret documents from the people involved, you almost get the impression the world is run by a cabal of satanic pedophile elite, kind of like InfoWars has been telling you for 20 years. He conspired with Bill Gates to do a strain pandemic simulation years before COVID-19 hit. It also reveals exactly how Jeffrey Epstein manipulated Wikipedia. Hacking Wiki again. They have all sorts of protection around your, quote, mugshot picture on Wiki, and so we are hacking Wiki now to remove it and replace it with the photo you sent, which will have the headline, Jeffrey Epstein, businessman, philanthropist. By the way, we took out you in the sex offender category and removed the headlines in beginning the sentence from Wiki that stated sex offender. Also, now it just reads businessman, philanthropist. We recorded the IP addresses of the people who were going in and changing our edits back and actually hacked the site to block them back in. That's why the site has been stable. So Jeffrey Epstein had, you know, personal hackers on contract that hacked Wikipedia, changed his Wikipedia entry so that it no longer emphasized the fact that he was a sex criminal, no longer had the mugshot as his main picture, but instead a more flattering picture that he himself provided. They made those changes to Wikipedia, but of course Wikipedia is open source. It's anybody can go in and edit it. And so people went in and tried to correct the changes they made, right? First, the Wikipedia article said the truth. His hackers went in, removed the truth. Other people went in, tried to put it back. They found those people's IP addresses and then blocked them from accessing Wikipedia in the back end so they couldn't make those changes anymore. That's the type of stuff Jeffrey Epstein was able to pull off when he has access to billions of dollars and elite, you know, electronic hacking skills. Epstein claimed Putin said Zelensky is run by the Israelis. So again, this just shows how ridiculous the claims of the Daily Mail are, saying Jeffrey Epstein was likely a KGB spy. In reality, in these documents, it's revealed that Putin is like their number one enemy. Epstein claimed Putin and Zelensky is run by the Israelis. Epstein and Larry Summers were texting about Zelensky 2 weeks after he won the election, May 6, 2019. Zelensky had just won, but wasn't yet inaugurated. Epstein says Ukraine is looking for advice, not sure where to start. He also says Zelensky looking for help. Putin dismissive, saying he's run by the Israelis. Gee, what could ever give him that impression? Perhaps the Israeli saying this about how they control him. Epstein was also involved in a plot to overthrow Putin, apparently. In 2012, Boris Nikolic, ex-advisor to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, wrote to Jeffrey asking for his help replacing Putin with Duma member Ilya Ponomarev. Well, we can safely say that didn't work out. And of course, this was the same assistant that Jeffrey Epstein wrote his resignation letter for him, and it was all, you know, insinuations about blackmail. He was Bill Gates's right-hand man, and he wanted to quit, so Jeffrey Epstein wrote him his resignation letter that was basically like, you know, I know all about everything that you did, and you should keep being friends with Jeffrey Epstein because of what a good friend he is and how good he is at keeping secrets, that kind of stuff. Again, in Ukraine, Epstein in Ukraine in 2019, a month before Zelensky wins, discussing with a Rothschild how to benefit from the upheaval. Yeah, you know, you just kill a million people, you can make a lot of money off that. All you have to do is overthrow a duly elected and constituted government, start, murderous bloodbath in Donbass for a couple years, completely scuttle the diplomatic, peaceful ability to come to a resolution, start a war, kill a million people, spend hundreds of billions of dollars out of the American taxpayer coffers, and you can get a little scratch off the top. That's worth it, right? Isn't that all worth it? These absolute satanic monsters. Autism Capital on X says, after reading even a fraction of the Epstein files, everyone owes the conspiracy theorists an apology. The world worked exactly how they said. They accurately clocked the power dynamics. Our history was one giant manufactured psyop, and they were all laughing behind the scenes. And it's not a, quote, bygone elite. Don't believe the New York Times lies. It's a very much current elite, just new players in the same system. Nothing has changed, just the names. Do not allow yourself to be gaslit. And folks, we have a little change in programming here. Alex Jones can't stay away. You're supposed to be resting, Alex.
Resting. No, no, my doctor did say I have a little bit of laryngitis is basically gone. You're in here taking care of everything. I'm getting a lot of extra business stuff done. We know probably when the shutdown of InfoWars will be. It looks like it's going to happen. I haven't announced that yet. A lot of big stuff behind the scenes, so I'm not screwing around. But I was going to file a report, but since I was already here, I'm going to come in with you ahead of Ian Carroll. Looking forward to Ian Carroll here to see what he has to say about things. That's next hour or so. But you're doing a superlative job going over this. When I come back, just for 30 minutes with you, instead of going into the anti-white, anti-Western, anti-Christian stuff of him at war with the Goyim,
yep.
And I'll explain how this really works. From my perspective, I thought I'll just be here to talk about this because this is a big deal. And I want to basically explain where this is going. But the whole system's going down, folks. This is a big victory. This all came out in the public. All of us forced this out. And there is obviously more. This is a big deal. So I want to congratulate everybody. But everybody, share the live feed right now. Real Alex Jones on X is huge.
So Alex is going to be in here with us, sitting right here. And we're going to go over what has been one of the most explosive, you know, parts of this document tranche release, which is the real seething hatred that a lot of these people have for white people, for Christians, for anybody that is not in their little club. So very excited to talk about that. And folks, this is a victory. You don't apologize to us. Don't apologize to the conspiracy theorists. Just join us. Just join us on this side. You know, it's like when Scott Adams, God rest his soul, you know, admitted that the vaccine wasn't good. And he said, you know, you guys were right. You win. We lose. And it's like, no, no, no. Nobody loses when they inject the world with a poisonous shot. We all win when we all embrace the truth and fight back against this together. So please, if you want to help, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself some ultramethylene blue. It'll blow you away if you haven't tried it. Ultramethylene blue, thealexjonesstore.com. Alex Jones joins me in studio right here after a short commercial break. Don't go anywhere, folks. Thealexjonesstore.com to support us as we move into the next phase of the info war and eventual victory. Stay tuned.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Somebody's gonna try to blackmail me with advertising? Blackmail me with money? Go f*** yourself.
Gentlemen, this is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting next to Alex Jones, who joins me in studio. Couldn't stay away, Alex. I mean, there's so much about this Jeffrey Epstein document dump that is fascinating, interesting, horrifying. The torture, talk of torture, the code words, the seven slices of pizza, and then the hatred for non-Jews that comes across, too, that has become a major talking point. A lot of people asking a lot of questions about this.
Well, let's be clear, too. This is 3+ million documents. It's everything the FBI has gotten over the years, minus the child porn, which from sources is a bunch of children being raped by other people that he had, but also tapes of stuff they were doing, and all the torture chairs and all the facilities they call dental chairs that they found at Zorro Ranch in New York and at Epstein Island, and reportedly was also in Paris at his facility. This is some really dark stuff. And the genetic engineering, the top scientists, the evolutionary biologists, the top ones planning the transgender takeover, you know, a decade ago, and saying it's, you know, to get us to accept, you know, total takeover. We already knew all this because in the 80s, the Tavistock Institute with MI6 developed it, but it is everything we've talked about, everything we discussed. I mean, more than 15 years ago, I said Epstein was into human-animal cloning, human cloning, stem cells, medical facilities, having a proxy burst to drain the children of their bone marrow and then inject it into the adults, where you would get a woman pregnant with your semen because then if it's your genetic line, it's like 100 times more powerful. Nygaard went to prison for that. He had his own island of Dr. Maru in the Caribbean as well. So I would talk about all this stuff decades ago, and it just sounded totally crazy, even though we had evidence of it. And so I've never said that the 15-year-old girls was a distraction, but that was kind of just the first circle of hell. And as you get deeper to the ninth circle, it's all about world government, money laundering, toppling governments, the CIA, Mossad, MI6. So all of that's triple confirmed in here. Him running his own, you know, airlines out of Ohio for the CIA, basically Evergreen Transportation 2.0 with Herbert Walker Bush when he first gets involved. Bill Barr, his dad, you know, Bill Barr, former top CIA attorney general twice, basically ran Iran-Contra even as a young man. So that's what this was always about. And that's why I was told before Trump even got back in that, no, Trump's not going there because of the national security. And I said, he's wrong. They're still going to burn him for it, even though he's not involved. We know because they would have already used it. And the witnesses and the victims all said that they never saw Trump except one at Mar-a-Lago, and he kicked Epstein out. So it isn't he was the first to drop the dime. In fact, Michael Wolff was told that in recordings that have been released by Epstein, and now Trump's talking about suing him because all this stuff vindicates him. Yep. No, Trump never got massages. Trump never came to the house. Trump never did this stuff. So people say to me, you're defending and covering up for Trump. No, I'll go there in a second. And I've gone there consistently, first breaking, look for Trump to do a basic general cover-up for the CIA and Mossad and MI6 and for the King of England, who's involved as well, not just his brother, Prince Andrew. So I nailed what it was. The archivists can pull it all up. In fact, have them do it. It's not about being right for me. It's that I know what I'm talking about. So one camp says, I am covering it up because Trump raped kids. Okay, well, that actress came out. She got caught as a Jane Doe. The tape about Trump, that was fake, they admit. Of the five Jane Does, three of them were law firms, weren't even real women. We already knew they'd recycle that would be in there. Melania, a prostitute of Epstein, meeting Trump through Epstein, meeting Melania. That's old recycled. That's what got Trump pissed. It's how they used it and said, sir, you better not release this. It's full of all this bull. He goes, oh, that's a hoax. Russiagate 2.0, he meant about himself. Now he came out two nights ago, you played this last night, and said, oh, my God, I should have, you know, this is great. I'm exonerated. Because, see, he's busy. He's 79, folks. We know how he operates. He's just being told all this. And the people that told him that, and we know who they are, at the FBI and GOJ, they're the bad guys, Trump, okay, that got you to engage in this and begin to get in the cover-up. And then now, by extension, you're in it. So I've called him out. It's the truth, and it's the facts. Then you had over a million of the documents come in the last few years to a hotline the Fed set up, random schizophrenics, they check them, known person in and out of mental institutions, never met Trump, described being raped at golf courses that Trump didn't build or own until 5 years later. I mean, it's just crap, crap, crap. Any of it ever turned up was real, we'd be there. Yep. Okay. But Trump's a distraction from all of that. You want to obsess on him, go ahead. The left is all over the internet attacking me and everybody else, saying, oh my God, leftist accounts, you're covering up for Trump when we post Tony Podesta, John Podesta, from the original WikiLeaks that are confirmed to be real. The three children, 7, 9, and 11, will be delivered to the hot tub for your pleasure. They're well-trained at the wooded area. It'll be just you and the children for your entertainment. We're going to do an Aleister Crowley ritual. We'll also have walnuts and pizza and this and that delivered next week. And Obama's having $56,000 of hot dogs delivered. That's male prostitutes. So with Obama, we've never had a pedophilia thing pop up. And we know Lindsey Graham, it's men, that's coming out. now prostitutes, gigolos. It's Obama. It's men. We know Dick Cheney, not into kids. He's into beating women. Mm. That came out in cases. Gunderson talked to women for real. He broke one woman's jaw. I mean, he reportedly, you know, had like a, and the women, they knew because from multiple ones, women didn't know from their parts of the country that he had a mole on his foot-long penis. And I'm trying to be gross here, folks. Cheney had a foot-long penis with a mole on the side of it. The women would describe it, and he would beat the living hell out of them, knock their teeth out, you name it. I mean, his reason he had a heart attack in like 50, he's a mean son of a bitch. Okay, so that's what the globalists liked him. So we all know their M.O.s. Hillary got her first job. Her dad was the deputy head of the mafia under Mayor Daley as a lawyer covering up in Watergate. Then she was sent down to Arkansas to cover up for elites in...
MENA.
Well, before even MENA, even before she met Bill, this is in the mid-70s, she was sent down to Little Rock and then to Hot Springs. People don't know that's still the Chicago Mafia headquarters. You go there, they got museums all about it. She was sent down there to cover up for the elites down there because they'd grab an 11-year-old girl off a bicycle in the town, take her to a shack, rape her for 3 days, take a broomstick, shove it all the way through her cervix, almost kill her. I've interviewed the woman in that studio on record, you know, face all cut up by him.
And Clinton was recorded laughing about it later.
She later said, I knew they gang raped her, ha ha, but I covered it up. So these are monsters, folks, okay? Okay, we know all their sexual proclivities. It's come out over the years that Hillary's seen more tail than a toilet seat, okay, or a bicycle seat. So we know the proclivities. Trump, it's bombshell, you know, supermodels, you know, that's what he likes. Roger used to be his wingman in between divorces, you know, that's the MO of him. So it's not about a defense of Trump. It's about everyone trying to make it about Trump. In fact, a lot of right-wingers, like the Dealey meme team guy attacking us, just shut up about the Epstein stuff because it's, you know, because Trump said this in the past, shut up about it. No, this is bigger than Trump. We're going to talk about it. It's about Mossad, MI6, CIA, the royal family, and in Europe is even worse, particularly in the UK, and how they use this for global control. So this is devastating to the system. This is bigger than anything else that's ever come out, and we, the people, force it to come out. The pressure bipartisanly forced it to come out, and now it is the ultimate litmus test for Pam Bondi and the rest of them. Now they brought in the AG in Missouri months ago that I said watch for him to make big moves. Him and Tulsi Gabbard are basically went and raided Georgia, have the total proof. That's coming out. So Trump is finally accelerating compared to the last administration. It's not perfect, but with the good things that are happening, this is very good. And now Trump realizes, okay, this hurts all my enemies that try to destroy him. Then go ahead and destroy him. It's all the brokerage guys, the big billionaires attacking Trump, the Bill Gates, the head of Harvard, all of that. And it's real stuff that we already know that's already been severally confirmed by other cases. And it gets into the CIA and this airline and Mossad and trying to topple governments and Ukraine. And the fact that Epstein was like a switchboard, you know, the old-fashioned operators where they tell them where you wanted to go and what number they plug it in. He was like a maitre d', you know, at a fancy restaurant.
Right.
He was like the chef at maitre d' that was air traffic controlling. But then just like the emails you read where they're threatening his brother, you're going to say you ran all this or you're dead, just like your brother. So this is just the Rosetta Stone, the decoder ring, to be able to decode all of this stuff. It's like having the Enigma machine in World War II from the Germans and knowing everything they were going to do and they didn't know he had it. This is so big, and even if they try to cover this up or not prosecute, if we just continue to cover it, look at all the angles, look at everything that's in there, it will bring the system to its knees. You already have major resignations of British lords, people they were going to have to be U.S. ambassadors out of the U.K. You have all these big corporate resignations. You see these very resignations by the hundreds of people that haven't been even implicated yet. People that go, oh, why they resign? They go, check, there they are. And it's usually bank dealing and aircraft and money and war. The sex, and that is just the initiation and like the hors d'oeuvres at the main feast. It's important to look at it, but that's just the gateway into why they're compromising people to make them minions and servants and surrogates of all of this. And Robert Maxwell, he just took over his business whenever he was killed. Ghislaine Maxwell's dad, when he fell off the Ghislaine, you know, yacht he was on when they killed him. So this is massive. But then this is what I wanted to get to now. You have Jeffrey Epstein in hundreds of these emails talking to Michael Wolff and talking to prominent Democrats and talking to the, you know, head of the NBA and all these people saying, you know, we're at war with the goy. We're at war with the Christians and the white people. We're at war with the West. We've always been at war. We're winning the war. And you have to understand that This goes back thousands of years to the Jews in the Middle East surrounded by all these other tribes where everybody was tribal and hated the other tribe. If you go back to every other tribe in the world, that's how every group operated. Christianity is what lifted Europe out of all of this and tribalism and unified everybody around God, okay? And so I'm not giving you Jews a pass on this. We've always covered this, that in a lot of the rabbinical teachings and even in the Old Testament Bible, you can read, you know, that's your enemy, go kill all the Philistines and even kill their donkeys and kill their kids because it's genocide. They were doing it to each other. And you see cultures in general do that. We did the Native Americans. They would come to us and say, help me kill that tribe or I'll kill you. They were just as bad as us or worse. It's how humans operate. But that's not an apology for large sectors of Jewry. It is the fact that we need to recognize this reality and understand why the leftist Jews and then even the AIPAC more right-wing Jews are, and the NGOs and the replacement migration are doing this because fundamentally they're race and religious based. And because they stayed on their own, never assimilated in Europe and did all of that, and it was both sides attacking each other, they still carry that beef. I can put you hundreds of rabbis, both conservatives and liberals, saying, you know, America is the new Rome. We're still at war with Rome because Titus sacked Jerusalem in 70 AD, and we're going to destroy America when we're done sucking it dry. Now, from what I've seen, most Jews aren't even religious or read that or involved. And there's a lot of rabbinical groups that admit it all and say we're not part of that. But I'd say it's about half of Jewry is at the top, a mafia. And that's how the Somalis are. Everyone is scum but us, including other Africans. When you're an elite that feeds on people, you did a great job last night describing it. It's a total operating system, an excuse you dehumanize your enemies, okay? And my point is, that's why Hitler, reading all this, he's a nationalist. He created something. But that's why I said the Jews in Europe, what they were up to, and because they were trying to break up Germany and break up the family and replace migration, the clergy plan, that conjured Adolf Hitler. But you study Hitler, he did a lot of really criminal, evil, wicked stuff. He wasn't a Christian. He was an occultist. They did all these black magic rituals. They're declassified. He was nuts. Just because what Jews were doing, some of them was wrong, doesn't mean that Hitler's good. And then they wouldn't let most Jews leave. It was Jews that would do the deals with the Nazis, including Madeleine Albright's dad on record. They got caught with all the famous art of Jews who would then steal the money from Jews to get out and not let them even get out.
Right.
And you could only go to Palestine under the Zionist Project with Hitler, who was for that. And he set up, even before, you know, after the Balfour Agreement and stuff, with the British, who they had treaties with, to make that the Jewish homeland. If they conquered Russia, they were going to take a large area, about 500 miles, you know, east of, in the south of Russia, twice the size of Texas, and make that the new Israel.
Yeah.
People can look that up. They talk about making Ukraine the new Israel. That's why there is a group saying that the rabbis say, oh, this is our new. I mean, this is, just know the players, okay? Trotsky was Jewish. The 100,000 British intelligence that were funded in 1917 out of the U.S. that were Russian and Polish Jews were sent in the October Revolution. That's all public. That's all knowledge. That's all history. Then they exterminated 20 million Christians. Stalin was seen as a hero because he then killed Lenin, went after Trotsky. He ran to Mexico, sent his people to the U.S. to become the neocons. This is all New York Times admits this. To take over the Republican Party, to then go to war with Russia. So you have to know all these old beefs. That's why they're using Ukraine, even though the pro-Nazis, who are the grandkids of Nazis, allied with Jews and Zelensky. Zelensky's like, yes, we have SS. Yes, we have Nazis here. They're Ukrainians, too. So you get all these weird bedfellows, and it doesn't make sense to people that aren't learned. After World War II, all the Nazi hunting was fake. They did a few things for PR. Simon Wiesenthal, all that's a fraud. They had top SS colonels working for Israel, running Israeli assassination teams who helped set up the Mossad. You just type in famous Nazis that later worked for Israel. And it's just a whole giant list of the most decorated commando, SS colonel, Hitler's favorite person, just worked for the Jews till he died. So worked for Israel.
Yeah,
and train Mossad and how to kill and, you know, what type of uniforms they ought to have and everything.
Well, the same thing like Klaus Schwab's dad had a slave factory of Jews in Nazi Germany. All the World Economic Forum people are literally the sons of Nazis.
And Madeleine Albright was the main guy. Like, way down here is, you know, a 14, 15-year-old Soros helping run around and they called him a bloodhound to get in where the Jews were and rat him out. So it was the best time of his life. On the top was Madeleine Albright's dad, who was like one of the main managers of it all. So moving on to the emails. This is irrefutable proof of all this. We're talking to all these prominent Jews and saying, start showing them, we are at war with the Gentiles. We're at war with the West, quoting rabbis saying it's our right to do this. They're not humans, but particularly the Christians, particularly white Anglo-Saxons, you know, have to be defeated, have to be destroyed. You now have the main socialist party in Spain. You got the clips coming up after Ian Carroll leaves you, saying, yeah, Spanish are bad.
Same with
French. And it's Spanish people. French. We're getting rid of the white people. Europeans are bad. And I can show you New York Times. We must eradicate whiteness.
Yep.
So, and again, this part and parcel, the operating system comes out of the later Talmud. And the Babylonian, because they have like 30 plus books after the Bible.
Yeah.
That's just the first one. And then it says all this, and then that is the operating system. But now they've taken over the Vatican, these globalists. So they're openly saying now, yes, replacement migration is in the UN plan 2000, clergy plan before that. Look all these up. That's why the ADL got up 4 years ago and said, arrest Alex Jones, arrest others. If you talk about replacement migration, you go to supermax prisons because it's the plan. You are to be destroyed, okay? Now, that is, I don't want to go average Jews. The average person in the synagogue doesn't even involved in this. And China believes it's dominant. It's homogeneous. It believes they're the supreme race. The Japanese thought they were. The new black Israelites think they are. Hitler thought he was. The British Empire thought they were. This is how humans have operated.
And anti-Semitism is used as a double weapon, right? Because it's used to silence people who want to criticize Israel or want to criticize Epstein. Oh, you're an anti-Semite if you talk about that. But it also is because these powerful elite Jews, their power structure or their power comes from, their power base is the Jewish community. They have to keep them separate and convince them, oh, everybody hates you, just like they do.
Yeah, that's why the Levant affair, and there was a whole bunch of declassified cases in Spain and Iraq and places in the 50s, the Jews wouldn't leave and come to Israel, so they blow up their synagogues and blame it on people.
Yep.
That's all they, so exactly. They need Jews persecuted so they get in line under the cult.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing over and over again. I mean, Hitler, attacked their own radio station on the border, Operation Himmler, subsection Gleiwitz, Operation Gleiwitz, to start World War II, say, oh, they killed our Germans. So it's just false flagging. So let's go through some of these. You've got them right there. And then we've got Epstein emails about there's one piece of pizza for seven people. It's got a great glow. It's really excited about it. You're going to really love it. People say, man, last time I'm seeing shadows. I'm freaked out. I can't take part. Oh, you don't know how to enjoy this. It's just like Podesta, three kids being delivered to your hot tub for your pleasure, 7, 9, 11. That's all confirmed. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. These people are psychotics. They are sociopaths. They have no, and to them, you don't even get in the club unless you, and I told you, it's not just 14-year-old girls. That's the gateway drug, okay? That's like marijuana compared to Oxycontin. They talk about ritual murder, torture, drinking blood, cannibalism. These are real emails that are Jeffrey Epstein's, okay? See, I told you, it ain't just screwing 14-year-old girls. It is killing babies. It is raping babies. It is drinking their blood. It is adrenochrome. Okay? This is all real. Ted Gunderson told me all this 30-something years ago. Let's start reading through these emails.
There's this one. It's not the Jews, it's the elites. Jeffrey Epstein says, all roads lead to Tel Aviv. There's a response to C-Bannon saying all roads lead to Beijing. This is the one you were talking about. Michael Wolff, war between the Jews and non-Jews, Jews presently winning. I mean, it's interesting. It's the exact same thing you'd hear from the alt-right.
That's the guy that's after Trump.
Yeah, and that's the guy that wrote the whole book on Trump and was conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein to frame Trump as involved in this. A woman named Masha tells Epstein he should only work with genetically tested Jews, claiming it correlates with being smart, which, it's not religious, right? It's genetic. She told Epstein, you're 98% Jew, you're very smart. Victim Maria Farmer said Epstein and Ghislaine would often talk about their superiority to quote-unquote Gentiles. That's what you're talking about with the dehumanization. I mean, this is really next-level dehumanization.
They insult other Jews, you're acting like a goy.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, they say, the acting like the goy that you despise. NBA Commissioner David Stern is in the email saying, basically, Epstein says, go wait in the lobby. And David Stern says, I'm not going to wait in the lobby. That's for Goyim, right? I'm a Jew. I don't wait in the lobby. Epstein emails include numerous derogatory remarks against Goyim, which used as an insult by Epstein to Josh, an unnamed Jew, in a 2012 email saying, you behave just like the Goyim you do not respect.
Now, let's imagine if we had Donald Trump talking to Elon Musk saying, I hate these N-words. And he's also in there talking about sex slaves. He goes, no N-words.
Yeah. and people say, oh, see,
and
it's
notice,
white
supremacy. None of them are ever black. Keep
yeah.
Kind of lucky for the blacks, but yeah.
Well, yeah, right. They get to avoid it. This is Jack Posobiec and Cernovich. So there's a lot of people just talking about this now for the first time, which they should. And some of the stuff from the emails, and we'll find them here, they're talking about in detail about the difference between Jewish souls and non-Jewish souls. And Jewish souls are like human and non-Jewish souls are like animals. And it's like, You can spend a lot of time in the white supremacy networks. You don't hear stuff like that. You might hear like, well, you know, they're a little bit dumber, but hey, I like their music. But like the fact that they were so like dismissive and hateful of people that aren't like them.
That's why Hitler dialed up and everything he did was to counter them.
Right.
And that's why it's like, God, that's really horrible. Well, he got it from them. He said that. They were mirroring, understand?
100%.
And that's why the Jews literally hired the top SS to set up their stuff. They admired them. Keep going.
Yeah, they're really good. There's some more here. This is just them. Elizabeth Maxwell, wife of Ghislaine's father, Robert, circulates petition to Friends of Israel in 2004, and demanding that Google censor anti-Semitic side Jew watch.
And we've got rabbis they're quoting saying we're subhuman.
Yeah, and these are the ones that Asmongold responded to. We showed the video yesterday. Goyim were born only to serve us. Let the Goyim do this sort of stuff. Israel founding father David Ben-Gurion reflected the mood and mindset perfectly. It doesn't matter what the Goyim say. It matters what the Jews do.
So here's what we got to do. We're reporting the facts. We're not becoming Hitler to mirror this and then do all the things that these mafias, it's Jewish mafia, uses this to get their people to do what they're told.
Yep.
We are Christ-like, and we're saying, no, we love everybody. But policy-wise, we're not going to have transgenderism, global government, open borders. We're not going to have your hate speech laws. We're not going to ban free speech. And we are going to expose that the Jewish groups are some of the biggest groups promoting the West is evil. America's bad. Thomas Jefferson's bad. Get down the American flag. We need to just say, here's the antidote, because we know this is what's going on. This is taught at a lot of the synagogues, all of it. There's a lot of Jews that are great people, and they know about this. They call those self-hating Jews. And people that go to the other extreme and then worship Islam and think the Palestinians are great. Just because there's a bunch of problems with Jewry in Israel doesn't mean then, so why are you, anytime I'm talking about Islam, and it's another, you know, like another deadly snake with venom. You could have, you know, like, you know, you could have in the jungle vipers and black mambas and king cobras. So I'm like, watch out for that king cobra. And you're like, why are you covering up for the black mamba? And I'm just like, you know, it's like, I don't want to have a heart attack. Also, I don't want to have cancer. It's like, and that's another thing. Then the unsavoriness of the anti-Jew folks that make up stuff about everybody. That's their own cult. They bully people. They say you work for, they say you're controlled. I'm controlled. And we've had former employees just say, oh, Jones told me not to just to score points. Total fucking lie. You know,
yeah.
That's why I got pissed. You know, I've never done that.
Absolutely. No.
And it's just like, whoa, you know, it's like, so we don't want to, Nietzsche said, don't stare at the abyss too long unless you become it. And also don't, you fight monsters long enough, you become the monster.
Absolutely.
We need to just lovingly point this out, come to it from a perspective of that, and say, no, this is going
to
stop.
And look, the bad guys want you to hate. They need your hate. They need anti-Semitism to point to you to go, look, well, see, we need extra protection. We need all this.
But it's also a snake eating itself.
Yeah.
Because look at the left of the universities and Soros are totally anti-Jew, wanted to destroy them all. And that's literally created mainly by Jews.
Yeah, it's all just completely insane. But we love everybody, and everybody needs to call this out. Jew, Gentile, nobody should be in favor of this. It's sick.
This is not good. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Listen up. It's InfoWars, and we're razor sharp. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Got a lot of stuff behind the scenes to do. We know they're going to try to shut us down now. We've survived so much, people don't take it serious, which I get. But we get shut down, we're going to get real serious. Looks like it's going to happen pretty soon. I'll be making announcements the next few days, you know, some basic stuff. But no matter, we're going to move on to the Alex Jones Network. It's going to be awesome. Be sure and support us, thealexjonesstore.com. It's not owned by me. That funds the new network. They can't shut that down, so please support the great products there. And you're not going to get this information anywhere else. This is wide-spectrum analysis. And I guarantee you, on the live feed right now on X, and probably even on Rumble, and today when we post this archive, half the comments will be, why come up for Israel? Because though they're so wild and twisted, but also have limited knowledge and context, they think when I go, oh, by the way, I interviewed the admirals and their families and the Judge Advocate Generals, LBJ made a deal with Israel to sink the Liberty to go to war with Egypt and Russia. They go, why are you coming up for Jews? No, that proves it was the U.S. government with Israel to get us into war with Russia, just like Operation Northwoods that they just hatched a few years before that Kennedy had killed. That's actually what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said on air.
Right.
That's just what happened. It doesn't get Israel off the hook. It proves it.
Yep.
But that's the mental illness here. But it's all about people proving they're better, they're holier than thou. It's the same to people that say, oh, the Catholics run it all. It is a system of psychopaths that get into all the power structures. It operates the same. But the tip of the spear is saying, America's Hitler, the West is Hitler. You have to do what the ADL and these groups say, or you're Hitler. We have to say, no, we're not guilty. We haven't done anything wrong. When it comes to race-based politics, it's you. You're grand champions up there with Hitler when it comes to this race-based politic. And yeah, since World War II, you somehow spun the West, saving you and others, into now we're bad, though both my grandfathers were the Army Air Corps, and I almost don't exist because of it. So this is from a place of love, also a place of survival, a place of reality, a place of true existential threat to society. This race-based division that a bunch of cultures are pushing must stop. And these third world countries are just as tribal, okay? That's the thing. All cultures are tribal. And a lot of the Jews never gave up the tribalism, okay? And territorialism is good to a certain extent to protect yourself from other groups that are territorial. So as Christians, as whites, but a lot of black folks, Hispanics get there, they're like, no, we're Christian Americans too. Yeah, red, white, and blue, basic freedom. We have to get together and say, hey, we're not going to be guilted into giving up our freedom anymore. We're not going to hate you like you hate us, but we're going to call you out on it when you do this, and we've got the ace cards here. They want to arrest you if, you know, you say the Holocaust didn't happen. No, Hitler killed a bunch of people. You can debate the number. But when you start trying to take our rights in general, we're just going to say, well, you're the one saying everybody but you are subhuman and you have a right to rule over us. You're God. That's any black folks that aren't Somali will tell you. They talk to Somali, they'll tell them, yeah, you're subhuman. I want to talk to you. This is the attitude almost everywhere. The Chinese think they're superior. I'm not saying all Chinese are bad. But the attitude is there.
Yeah.
And it's Christian Western society that was the best and ended slavery in most areas. We still have that too. We have a guilt because we tried to get rid of it. We're the best, the West. We actually have done the most, which is why everybody wants to come into Western society. So we have to kind of say, hey, we're kind of the Michael Jordans of human freedom and equality coming together. But they've created a twisted version, a guilt version of that to control us. Now, we've covered this. You can go as much as you want with Ian Carroll, all that. I don't care. I'll be back tomorrow. But, and I got some other stuff I got to do, getting ready for the shutdown here going on. So I think we'll probably do one another day this week. Been a fabulous show, by the way. We need to now focus on the sex slavery, the human trafficking, the one piece of pizza for seven adults, the torture, the blood. I can't come tonight. I'm having nightmares. I'm seeing shadows. My God, I can't eat kids. This is ultra, ultra massive and goes directly. Because when you think you're God, everybody else is an animal. You call people cows. Well, why not go ahead and eat them? You know, why not gut babies and eat their intestines? Okay. So this stuff is really going on. Aleister Crowley stuff, everything. We need to spend a lot of time on that and the CIA and Mossad and the blackmail control and then even more time once we've exposed all that because, like you said, more's coming every minute. We need to spend a lot of time on pressuring the Justice Department and other governments and state governments to go after these people because we become complicit now if we don't force this. And anybody that doesn't help us is complicit. And anybody saying, whenever we expose the Democrats, it's mainly Democrats I ever said, oh, you're covering for Trump. That's a spin. You're covering up for the open devil worship, killing kids and satanic rituals. Okay, you got something on Trump, bring it. It's true, we'll go after him. Okay, boom. But we haven't seen it yet. So don't you try to distract off on that.
If somebody's only talking about Trump, they're working for the Democrats, and they're bad. They're posing as one of us. Can't
tell. Amen.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Between the time when the censors drank the voices of the free and the rise of the unyielding truth seekers, there was an age undreamed of. And unto this, Alex Jones, destined to bear the crown of revelation upon a vigilant brow, fighting the shadows of tyranny. It is I, his chronicler, who alone can tell thee of his saga. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
The story you're about to see is true. All of it is verifiable and documented. This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
We know the government's planning terrorism. We know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners. If you do it, we're going to blame you because we know who's up to it. Or if you let some terrorist group do it, like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. If any terrorism comes, it's from this government. And if there was an outside threat like a Bin Laden, who was a known CIA asset in the 80s, he's the boogeyman they need in this Orwellian phony system.
Long live the Constitution and death to the New World Order.
Death! The New World Order. Get the idea of losing our sovereignty. We don't like this flag, and we're sick and tired of it.
The revolution of peaceful information is coming, and when it comes time, you people are going to be brought to punishment.
Don't you stand for America, sir? What about the Federal Reserve and the CFR? You people are being lied to. This country's been taken over by Europe. And I'm being drug out. Laugh at it.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me?
I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
If you want them, come and take them.
Your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
InfoWars just lost their war on info. Yesterday, Apple,
iTunes, Vimeo, and Spotify,
and YouTube, Twitter,
and Facebook
have all blocked Alex Jones and InfoWars.
Google is evil.
Alex Jones, he was subpoenaed by the bipartisan House committee investigating the insurrection.
1776! 1776!
Alex Jones must sell off nearly all of his personal assets.
Jones owes $1.5 billion.
InfoWars is shutting down.
They may shut him down, but they won't shut him up.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We now Smith. Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show. Sorry about that. I'm a little excited here preempting our liner. I'm in studio with the one and only Ian Carroll. You, of course, can follow him on X and YouTube at Ian Carroll Show. And you can go to cancelIanCarroll.com to find the latest. Ian, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. No.
Are you drowning? I'm drowning. Are you drowning?
No shortage of work right now. Yeah. Back home, I have 40 automated bots scraping the DOJ's website continuously for the last 2 days, trying to download a million plus files.
Yeah.
Still working.
It's a big, and I mean, this thing came out Friday, and since Friday, about every 2 minutes, there's a new bombshell story somebody discovers, which is why I started the show yesterday explaining to people how you can go, you know, find this, because you might have a piece of knowledge that nobody else has. You might notice a code word that nobody else notices. We need as many eyes on this as humanly possible. You're using AI to do it. What are you finding?
Well, in particular, because I couldn't help but notice that in the previous drops, they put them out with zip format downloads where you could easily download the whole batch. And in this one, for a lot of the files they put out, they did not put out a zip file download. And
right.
So a lot of it is actually kind of not downloadable if you don't know your way around a computer. I can't help but wonder if that's intentional, that they intentionally just like put out this batch of millions of pages of documents that are completely inaccessible to the average person. You have to click through page by page, one at a time, opening them individually. So it's kind of a nightmare to look through. But that being said, I'm very impressed with all of the things that independent journalists have pulled out, how quickly they pulled them out. Like within the first hour, like I can't help but wonder if some people didn't have advanced knowledge or some stuff fed to them by like House Democrats or Republicans or something, like in previous releases, because some people seem to have stories ready to go like hour
like
one.
Right away.
It was incredible, like not knocking them at all. I'm just blown away.
You know, I think a lot of it is certainly just knowing the right keywords to
search,
right? So you search the right keyword and you can start sourcing stuff really
suddenly
fast.
Suddenly all of America is looking up Goy on Google. Huh?
You saw the chart, yeah. Going straight up. Yeah, a lot of people coming to that revelation. And that's been some of the most damning stuff. Well, I don't even know if I should say that. I mean, the real most damning stuff is the torture videos and there is truly... So, bird's eye view. What is your takeaway from everything that's been revealed? Like, is there anything that you're like, oh, that was an angle I was missing? Because to me, the way I've been describing is it feels like we've always had the black and white image. This is just filling in the color. Is there anything that like really stands out to you as like, holy cow, I had no idea this was happening?
Yeah, there's sort of two questions there. One, at least the way I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
One is big picture, like what are we learning as journalists? And for people that have been in the story for a long time, you know, we kind of knew. It depends on your threshold for evidence of what you like, how willing you were to speculate beforehand.
Right.
But if you had any willingness to speculate before now, you were expecting all of this, and you know that there's way more. This is just scratching the barest surface of what was actually going on.
Yes.
So it's not like I'm wildly surprised by the big picture of what we're seeing. There's way more. But there are a lot of like detailed elements and storylines, like this whole 4chan thing that is fascinating. Melania being deeply implicated directly in a bunch of emails is fascinating. That like things that aren't necessarily like I could have never seen coming, but are really kind of from left field and in the detailed nature of them are looking more and more interesting, kind of in the micro rather than the macro.
Yeah.
But I think for the average person, the average American, this drop specifically is a whole different level of bombshell.
I never expected us to get a drop like this. 3 million files just dumped. And that may be part of the strategy. It's just overwhelming everybody. I do think you're right that, you know, they made a mistake last time doing the zip because then people figured out that you could highlight and get away. So I think that was probably part of it. It was like, let's not let everybody download the original source files the instant they come out, because we may have made a mistake and might want to go in and re-censor stuff.
Mistakes, they've actually been taking files offline and back online. They've changed the data sets that are up a couple of times.
I've heard 12 that.
12 disappeared and then reappeared. 9, I just got a text message like 30 minutes ago that document set 9, which is the biggest document set, that it actually was cut down by like 90% or more.
Oh, wow.
Just recently. Fortunately, everyone's already scraped it and already has it all. I don't know. Like, I haven't had time to check all that. Well, I've been here in the studio, but
let me ask you this. Is there anything that you've seen that, do you think that this was released, as a psyop? I guess is basically what I'm asking, because the way that I see this release, I don't think this was a psyop. I don't think this was some sort of, you know, fulfillment of a blackmail plan. It seems like, as crazy as this is, this was genuinely the DOJ responding to the law passed by Massey and Khanna.
I don't disagree I see your point.
I'm trying to figure out who it benefits. That Ki Bono, I can't really answer.
Well, there's a couple of angles on that, the way that I would see it. One being, they are fucking up the redaction game all over the place. They literally are putting out unredacted information about victims, all sorts of personal information about victims. There was literally CP in this release.
Oh, wow.
Like unredacted CP, photos and videos, apparently, in the initial release. And there's victims that are going online right now that are talking about how they feel completely betrayed because their personal shit has been just plastered. Like, they're literally redacting the names of the conspirators, of people like Leslie Wexner, of suspects and Johns, and they're failing to redact the only thing they're actually legally supposed to redact, which is victim information. So from that perspective, it's already a psyop, just in terms of what they are hiding and who they're protecting. But in the truer nature of your question, this is obviously my speculation, my opinion, but I cannot help but wonder about the timing of this drop, because blackmail is a subtle art that walks in stages. It's not just like you have it or you don't, you release it or you don't. And this is not the blackmail. This is what the FBI collected in their pathetic, sad excuse for an investigation that was hamstrung, covered up, and bullshitted for 10 years or whatever. So the files that are getting released, are not actually the blackmail. They're just, you know, sus. The actual blackmail is sitting in some vault over in Israel, and it's way fucking worse. It is way worse. It is endlessly worse. Like, imagine the worst claims that are in these emails, and then imagine those claims on video.
Right.
Like,
well,
and
we pointed out yesterday, I don't have it right in front of me, but one of the emails, somebody asks Epstein, hey, do you know anybody that can influence Assad, Bashar al-Assad? And Epstein responds, not for email. So what we know is that there was lot of stuff going on that they didn't discuss. So everything that you're seeing is what they didn't really care about.
And common pattern all throughout the Ehud Barak emails, all throughout these emails, is they kept all those important communications over the phone, or they used code and were getting vindicated on the Pizzagate code.
Right.
In these emails as well.
Even though with the Pizzagate code, they seem like they're really not trying. I mean, when you say, you know, we have one slice for seven people and we're going to torture it, it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
You're just,
So to finish the question there is that, releasing these files is in many ways like a soft push of a blackmail. Like, a lot could be done by forcing the release of these files right now to embarrass people that aren't playing ball with whoever wants you to play ball. I don't claim to understand everyone that is trying to push and pull on things right now, but I do know that, for example, Israel really wants Trump to go to war with Iran right now.
Right.
And we're in this really tense moment about war with Iran. And I can't think of any more embarrassing moment than his administration getting dropped in this bombshell and shitstorm right now. A whole bunch of the people that are implicated are tied up in Trump's political, party. And so there's a lot of moving pieces that I find it hard to just dismiss the timing of all of this. Where I would just assume there's no ulterior motive, because we have no evidence that any of the people in charge have anyone's best interest at heart. We have no evidence that they actually care about the victims. We have no evidence that they ever were doing any of this altruistically. So I see no reason to believe suddenly that this drop doesn't have some ulterior motive behind it as well, when everything else has been fucked up from the start.
Yeah, that's true. And I have to ask you, we got to stop using four letter words because we're on the radio. Used up our dump. So I politely ask that we keep the
files bring it out of me, and I forget.
I completely understand. But you're exactly right about, you know, the reason for suspicion here. It's just, I've heard like, okay, this is because Trump won't go to war with Iran. They're, you know, making good on their blackmail promise. But, you know, a lot of the stuff about Trump is unconfirmed. It's rumors. I see so much more damaging information about Ehud Barak and Alan Dershowitz. And
this,
I mean,
it is a good point.
It is not hurting Trump nearly as much as it's hurting the Israeli networks, the Mossad networks that we know are operating.
Really,
so I have trouble being like, they're going to expose themselves to burn Trump. I don't get that.
I completely agree with that rebuttal. And, I'm very curious to see how Benjamin Netanyahu tries to play it, because he's often tried to play this game of like, Ehud Barak is the bad guy and I'm the good guy. I'm the good Israeli prime minister.
Right.
And we actually have evidence from these drops and otherwise that he was actually meeting with Jeffrey Epstein and getting connected with, for example, Jeffrey Epstein connected Netanyahu to JP Morgan.
Right.
I think for me, the most striking thing about this drop is just how much evidence there is about basically everyone, everyone powerful in every direction, in every country. Like, there's a whole section of this that is directly Putin. Like, he was literally advising Putin on all his financial stuff. Not all, but like, I did not see that coming. Cause Putin has been on his pulpit for the last, 5 years. Like, the West is controlled by pedophiles. The West is all corrupt and evil. And if you were just to like back up and kind of like zoom out, it would be easy to be like, oh, Putin's based. But then you get into these files and you're like, wait a minute, bro. What? You can't do that. You can't play hanky panky with us like that. That's exactly what everyone else is doing.
See, I would a little bit disagree with that too, because, Epstein clearly was friends with everybody, even the people that he was, targeting for blackmail and that sort of stuff. Cause the stuff that I've seen about Putin and Zelensky, I mean, clearly it was the Rothschilds and, Epstein were, conspiring about what to do when Ukraine falls that they were obviously involved in. Maybe Putin was in on that, but,
Yeah, it's not necessarily a friendly relationship.
Right.
I have not personally dug into all of the Putin stuff yet. I was just looking at that earlier today.
Well, and that's again where it gets a little bit confusing or where like even the claims I'm not quite sure of, because it's like, okay, is Trump a victim of the blackmail? Is he in on it? I guess you could be both, and a lot of people obviously are. I mean, they're providing the blackmail willingly because they, are on the same team. But I want to get back to the 4chan thing. You brought that up,
4chan
and that
stuff is crazy.
Fascinating. So, and there's been a couple instances, like a couple examples of very interesting things where he's talking to Moot, who's the programmer of 4chan, is I think he sold it eventually, but at the time he was convinced to bring back the politics board as sort of a containment board by Jeffrey Epstein. At the same time, the Ghislaine Maxwell is a power mod on Reddit. But then there's this other 4chan post about the guy who first posted that Epstein had quote unquote killed himself and actually said that he escaped to Israel.
Yeah. So 4chan is deeply tied into this story, and that this reporting is still developing because there's so much complicated context that people have to triangulate between the date something was posted, the date the email was sent, the date of where people were where. But yeah, basically it starts to look more and more like Jeffrey Epstein may have been deeply involved in this sort of like alt-right upwelling of like online sort of spaces for this alt-right sentiment that then kind of spawned the Q stuff, kind of spawned a lot of the like pedophile hunting and like anti like pedophile ring stuff. Ghislaine Maxwell's presence on Reddit is a huge unknown quantity at this point, but it's definitely not a small quantity. That other Reddit post that is sort of an unrelated tangent on 4chan of the person that, cause, 4chan is all anonymous, but an anonymous person comes on the day that Jeffrey Epstein commits suicide before we've learned that he's committed suicide and posts on this anonymous board, hey, they just brought in a van. They switched him out. He was in a weird cell. Everything was weird. I think they just swapped Jeffrey Epstein out. I think, and it's like, that was posted before he died. So there's all sorts of weird question marks, around what exactly was the operation, what exactly was their purpose, what exactly were their hands in, and just more and more, it's everything. Like from, I just saw you got a photo of Steve Bannon.
Yep.
Close buddies with Steve Bannon, all the way to all, like a whole bunch of Democratic people as well. Elon Musk wanted to be homies. It just seems to span in every direction, but.
The 4chan one is particularly strange. Again, it's strange that he was involved in the administration of 4chan. Obviously, that's very, very bizarre. And I wonder if that didn't backfire on them or if
maybe
the outcome was intended, right? Yeah. Because, it makes sense you'd want to create a containment board. And there's also emails in here where, like, during Pizzagate or during some of this stuff, they're talking about, well, let's, start spamming fake stories just to muddy the water. I mean, you really get an insight into some of these strategies. But then, sort of separately, but also related to 4chan, is this. So, the individual who anonymously posted on 4chan the morning of Epstein's death, August 10th, 2019, claiming he witnessed weird happenings at the prison before Epstein's death, has been identified in the Epstein files. Roberto Girjalva, an officer at the Metropolitan Correction Center of New York, has been identified as the anonymous prison employee who posted on 4chan, claiming Epstein left his cell Friday evening shackled in a medical wheelchair, while at the same time, an unauthorized trip van arrived at the prison, which he believed took Epstein away the night before the news broke of his death. And the reason why this is like, well, obviously he was right about the death happening. So, you know, showing foreknowledge is evidence that he knows what he's talking about and is telling the truth. But then the Southern District of New York actually opened a grand jury proceeding and subpoenaed 4chan to find this guy's identity, which really confirms that what he was saying was true, because it wasn't just a random troll.
Yeah, very interesting. I actually didn't know that he had been identified through these documents.
Yeah.
Now. Because
that's wild.
It wouldn't be the first P-file that had taken refuge in Israel. I had always kind of been I had always been of the stance that, like, people, when people said Epstein wasn't dead, I always kind of been in the stance of like, yeah, but they don't care about him. It's like, in, they'd be perfectly happy killing him. It doesn't really matter. Like,
right.
You know, he's a huge liability to leave alive. So I had kind of been, you know, 50 to 1, you know, half dozen, whatever the expression is. But when you start to put that evidence all together, it does really look like he's probably still alive somewhere. Probably has a change, a new face, right?
Yeah. I've been saying he's alive the whole time. There's the video of him on his island after he supposedly died. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't think I have.
There's drone footage from Rusty Shackelford. And there's a guy that looks just like Jeffrey Epstein on his island while they were like cleaning it up and investigating it after his death. And he looks up and sees the drone and gets in a car and drives away. It looks just like him. So yeah, I've been and it's sort of half a joke because you'll never confirm. It's never going to be, he's never going to like come out and be like, you're right, I'm still alive. So I don't think we'll ever get confirmation, but why think that
if we had a government half worth what it's supposed to be,
exactly,
that could even begin to do his job, we would actually get those answers. You know,
yeah.
We would be getting so many answers, because here's this, like, that there's all this salacious stuff. There's all these stories flying around. And you know, it's all important. It is all important stories and it's all important stuff to get into, but I think it is part of, there is a certain element of like, get everyone lost in the weeds, just swamp it all.
Yep.
Where like, you can't forget to zoom back out and remember that they've had more than enough to go after all sorts of co-conspirators, all of this network for over a decade. They still have it today. They could still go after the Leslie Wexners of this world today, right now. They're not. And beyond that, this is just like 1% of what actual evidence was out there. At the time, they barely raided any of his properties. They gave him advanced knowledge of most of the raids that were happening, let them clear everything out. They never even went to the ranch, which is where a lot of the worst stuff probably happened. So we are looking at a, you know, not even all the documents that they said they had. They said 6 million documents. Now we have like 3.5 million. And that is only a sliver of a pathetic investigation that was never really truly actioned on, which is still only an investigation actioned on a tiny sliver of the evidence that they should have collected in the first place based upon everything they could have gotten.
Well, I remember reports that they collected something like 40 terabytes of information.
That's what
from
they
Epstein.
Said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of it was digital devices and drives that they, not all of it, some of it they just collected straight up, but some of it they went and raided and actually were not allowed with their warrant to collect it all on the first pass, and a lot of it got left with him, and then they had to come back and collect it later, is my understanding.
This whole thing is such a scandal. I mean, it's like such a ridiculous saga of not ineptitude, but just basic corruption, and it clearly shows how thoroughly invaded our entire power structure is by this cabal of psychopaths. It is really troubling. So We'll get into all of that. Ian's here for the remainder of the hour. We're going to get into everything Epstein. But again, if this is shocking to you, if this is blowing your mind, just know we've been here for years, folks. It's fine. Calm down. Just because you're learning about it now doesn't mean it's all happening right now. You need to absorb this stuff, intake it. I'm not telling you not to, like, you know, treat it for what it is. I mean, if you're freaking out, I don't blame you in the slightest. This is crazy stuff. But Don't go overboard. Understand, we've been here. We have understood this for a long time. We've already blazed the trail into understanding not just exposing this and who's involved and why they're involved, but what we do to combat it. The reason that we have this document dump is because of people like Alex Jones, organizations like InfoWars for 20 years pushing this and pushing the understanding that this is about basic national security, really, and all of these people are foreign spies that need to be dealt with so that we can continue to just have a normally functioning country. You can see how disruptive all of this has been. More with Ian Carroll on the other side. I do want to remind you, go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. This is our victory, folks. Go celebrate at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself a knife. This is my everyday carry knife. We have 3 new styles on sale now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get them today. We'll be back in just a few minutes. More with Ian Carroll on the other side. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite Magnesat's top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Ian Carroll in studio with me. We are, of course, talking about the Epstein file release. You can follow Ian on X at Ian Carroll Show, and you can go to cancelIanCarroll.com. Where you are a node in the information or in the human intelligence network, and you know you serve, kind of as we do in InfoWars, as like an aggregator. A lot of people, you know, suggest things to you, or when you do live streams, people are participating along with you. And then you're making AI bots to help scan all of this stuff. What do we do next? Where do we go from here? Because we have all this information, and it feels like if the release is the last thing that happens, all this is getting us used to it. All this is going, yeah, this is the way the world works, and now you know, deal with it. That cannot be the outcome of this. No, that cannot be the conclusion.
I kind of go back and forth on this, because there's two answers that I think are both very important and true. And the first one, which can't be the whole one, is that information is important, and it is important that everybody gets informed, because you see all the time with protests in America. You got a couple examples right now. We had a couple examples going back through 2020 and before, where if you start protesting with half the information, you're basically actually just a sheep for someone else to control. Right. And if you go out there to protest without understanding what the real problem is, what the real root is, what's really going on, actually you're probably just playing someone else's game for
you. You're going to make it get worse. You're going to make it worse.
Yeah. You're just a sitting duck for the CIA, Mossad, whoever else wants to get into your protest, whatever. So, it's very important that Americans get fully informed about the issue, about the depth of the issue, about actually who's behind it, actually what's going on, and who's actually compromised, and spread the word and talk about it and dig these stories up, and independent journalists do this work. That's very important. But it can't be all of it, right? We do need political action. We do need accountability. And unfortunately, it looks like the vast majority of the politicians that are in right now are asleep at the wheel, complicit, blackmailed, bribed, whatever. With, you know, at least the exceptions of Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna, who we should applaud till the end of days, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene as well, even though she's not there anymore. So they should get all of our support in every way, across the aisle, because they are Republican and Democrat working together for everyone's benefit. And I think we should be keeping notes on everybody that, you know, impeded it, everybody that talked, you know, that stood in the way of it, or that flip-flopped once it was convenient about it. And we should vote them all out. We should basically at this point vote out all incumbents, because the only way that I really see, and this is just my opinion, but the only way that I really see change happening is the old guard all getting voted out. Every votable position needs to leave, and we need young, new blood that is fresh, that grew up in this era of corruption and in this era of transparency, or at least the desire for it. We need them in there to at least have, you know, a couple good eggs in the basket, because right now it looks like there's only two.
Yeah, right? And they're doing everything they possibly can to drive those two out, including with Thomas Massie. He's got three Zionist billionaires funding his opponents that are also featured in the Epstein files quite a few number of times. So
I mean,
not a coincidence.
If I could say one thing to the American people about it, it's like political action, great. Like journalism and information action, great. But the real heart of the thing is like the people, is the collective of the people. And I cannot, I get so disheartened when I see the left and the right fighting over this issue online and continuing to, and this is not an accident. This is like the number one way to psyop this space right now, is to get you fighting over whether is it Trump or is it Clinton? Is it the Dems or is it the Reps? Is it the Reds or is it the Blues? And it's like, shut up. It's all of the elite pedophiles. It's all the billionaires. It's all those pieces of
trash.
It's all of them. We should be coming together on this issue. We can all agree that protecting children from pedophiles is good, and that pedophiles should be not anywhere near our government, probably underneath the dirt. And so if there's, I just wish that we could at least move forwards on the idea of this should bring us together. And if we're, you know, there's right-wing protests right now, there's left-wing counter protests right now, or, you know, flip those. If there's any time in American history for us to be protesting all together about one thing, this is it.
100%. And I'd say the same thing when it comes to like Jews versus Gentiles. It's like everybody should be able to call this out. Everybody.
100%.
There's no reason why you as a Jew should be going, but they're Jewish, so do I really? Like, no. If you can't call this out, that's on you, frankly. You got to be able to. Everybody should be able to call this out. Everybody should be able to point to what we see in these emails as horrifically evil, and the power structure that controls it, extremely manipulative. Don't fall for it, because obviously the you know, I always talk about the phrase where it's like if we say, you know, George Soros is evil, and then you got George Soros sitting there and he turns to like the Jewish baker next to him and is like, "Do you hear that? He said he wants to kill you. You know, you got to go defend me from him." And it's like, don't let them use you as body armor. These people are evil, they're bad, and they're making things bad for you, so do not cover for them.
You actually bring up such an important point with that. That's like one of the most critical points for not just Jewish people to talk about, not just non-Jewish people to talk about, for everyone to kind of like come to grips with and parse apart for ourselves, is just this realization that like the problem is not that they are Jewish people running this pedophile ring. The problem that creates this behavior, that creates this criminality, is the Jewish supremacy, right? It's the belief that they as a race, as a people, are better than everybody else. And these particular Jewish billionaires are Jewish supremacists. 100%. But, you know, the average Jewish person that's just a regular dude that just believes in everyone else and is just trying to be a regular human, they don't have these beliefs, and so they don't traffic children to billionaires, right? And supremacist ideology, no matter where it crops up, is evil. It just so happens that we have a particularly strong strain of it that comes all the way down from the Rothschild family that's funded a country and an intelligence agency and this whole network of global systemic control. And it's on full display. And if there's any time for the world to realize it and to wake up to it, it's now. But it's also an incredibly precarious time, as you point out, because let's just be honest, there's a lot of experience in the media base that those Jewish supremacists control of pushing the pushback against them over the edge into actually really useful propaganda for themselves. Where if they can push you over the edge into like, oh, they're going to do a Holocaust to us, oh, they're going to do this to us, suddenly they're very good at actually manipulating all of that and using all of the media companies that they, you know, have a lot of, you know, control over to actually use you to their own ends. So you have to be very careful in this media environment of how you engage with it. But that doesn't mean you don't engage with it. Doesn't mean you don't talk about it. Doesn't mean you don't acknowledge it, because it is full display, and it is very much running our country right now.
Yeah, here's the secret, y'all. Here's the cheat code I'm about to give it to you. You treat Jews like everyone else.
Crazy.
I know. Mind-blowing. You don't target them because they're Jews. You don't not target them because they're... You just treat them like any other group. And if their religious proclivity, if their ethnic designation is part of what inspires them to do, is part of the reasoning behind their actions, then it's valuable to talk about and investigate and determine, you know, how... why this impact can be. This is normal. Don't be scared, folks. It's all fine. But and also don't go overboard, because that's the other thing that people do, and it's negative outcomes.
You know, in this case, like it's a great example, and that's a great way to put it, is that it's scary to talk about, because there's a lot of, you know, racial tension around Judaism and around our education in America, around the Holocaust, around World War II, all that stuff. But like, organized crime has always been racial. Organized crime is always organized racially, because you need those ties that bind. If you're going to do something illegal together, someone's going to get caught eventually, and you need them to be more loyal to you and whatever tie binds you all together than they are to their own skin. And that's always been blood. That's why the mafia is Italian, the Yakuza is Japanese, the, you know, the mob is Jewish, the Bratva is Russian. That's always how it's been.
The pirates are Somali.
Right?
And but for real, yeah.
So it's like, just remember that it's no big deal to realize that when you're looking at a gigantic, the world's largest criminal trafficking ring we've ever known of, it's no wonder that it's racially organized. And in this case, it's racially organized around Jewish supremacists that, you know, live in the country of Israel. Many of them were involved in founding the country of Israel. And they are very good at what they do. They've realized that control and power is a thing you can push and you can manage and you can extort and influence. And there's nothing better than creating a... Let's say a system whereby corrupt people are incentivized to rise and they are given opportunities to rise, and you find and manage those corruptions and you feed those corruptions with the vices that they desire. And then as they rise into their positions of power, you've got those vices already hooked on your lines. Yeah. And over the years, that system just ingrains deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until we get to where we are now, where most of these industries are just completely gridlocked by these corrupt, by these blackmail parties, by these white parties, by these, you know, island goers, whatever it is. It's just kind of the status quo at this point.
And it doesn't even necessarily have to be an established orchestration, a plan. It's just a natural consequence of having corrupt people in positions of power. Jeffrey Epstein's not about to hire anybody that he even whiffs that they might be a moral and upstanding person. Why would he want them anywhere near him? He's just not going to hire them. So you get a powerful person that's corrupt, they're only going to surround themselves with other corrupt people just out of sheer, just like self-preservation. It's, you know, they don't need to think about it too much. It's just how they're going to act on instinct.
It's just natural incentive structures. And, you know, just think about the parties that you go to when you were back in high school or college or whatever. When you went to that party, you're at the party, suppose you're throwing a party, you want to invite people that are similar to you. And if you're, suppose you're really into drinking, but you don't do hard drugs, you don't really like invite the hard drug doers to your party. But then, like, if you invited a bunch of really straight-laced Mormon kids to your party, you might feel a little uncomfortable by how they're not quite into what you're into, and you're, like, you know, 14 beers deep, and the Mormon kid is kind of there like, this is weird, and you're like, eh, someone get this square kid out of here, right? Like, now imagine that you're a pedophile that likes to eat babies, and you won't really want a normal person at your party. And so when you get enough of those people at the tops of these structures, throwing these parties, hanging out at these parties, having a great time doing their thing, being free to run the world, they don't really want to invite regular folks into those parties. So they really just like to keep it in the house, keep it in the family, in the club, you know, get your red shoes, get your panda eyes, whatever, you know, do your little symbolism, eat your pizza, do whatever it is they do, right?
Yeah. Think you're smart. Think you're pulling one over on everybody. We all know exactly what you're up to. And that to me is a really satisfying thing about this is all of these scumbags that just think they're above everybody, and then it's revealed they're all just these ugly, creepy rapists that it's just, they suck, man. And this to me is one that's gone a little underreported, but is huge, I think. Well, there's a couple things. First of all, just sticking with the topic that we were talking about, Epstein and Mark Fisher have a conversation on the difference between a Jewish and non-Jewish soul. Quote, a Jewish soul has a very different structure, has different higher levels, relates to itself and other people in a different manner than the non-Jewish soul. So like when we're talking, this isn't just like off the cuff, like, I don't do that. That's for goyim, you know, just because I could even see non-racist people making jokes like that or whatever, not to downplay it. But this is like actual sincere discussion, actual like intellectual conversation about how Jewish people's souls are more valuable than non-Jews. I interact with a lot of truly white supremacist communities. I've never heard anything like this from them. They'll be like, well, black people are dumber, but they're good at sports and we like their music. You know, it's like that's as radical as you'll get. This is like sincere, genuine discussion about the value of souls and that Jewish souls are more valuable. That's incredibly creepy and very deep, deep supremacy, not just surface level stuff.
I mean, it's the unfortunate truth is that when you look at Israel's history of how they've treated other races, though, like how they treated the Ethiopian Jews, for example, when you start to learn that history, it's not that surprising that the people that are the richest, most powerful people in the Israeli established order, the people that are running their secret trafficking networks, it's no surprise that they're holding these deeply racist beliefs, because it's kind of par for the course over there, and it's going to be most par for the course where it's the people that are the most abhorrent evil ones among them. But that being said, you're right that it is at a way deeper level than just some surface racism. And it's at a deeper level than just religiously, like, we were promised this or we are better than you. It's at the level where that is actually how they are excusing their actions. That is how they're trafficking these people, is they don't see them as people. It really does harken back to, like, chattel slavery in a lot of ways. Right?
Or
the exact same justifications.
Yeah, or any sort of, you know, massacre during war. It's a lot easier to burn a village down if you think the people there aren't technically human.
Yeah, there's also a really dark side to it, too, that I think about frequently, unfortunately, that you never really hear about brown kids in this network.
You do hear about them. They say none, please.
Exactly.
Yeah, no N-words, please. Yeah,
exactly. And you can't help but put two and two together and realize that this is just like the nature of the trafficking world, unfortunately, is that there's different prices for different types of kids.
Of course.
And that they value white kids more highly because of sort of the innocence and degradation to the white race that's doing, of sort of this racial hatred thing. And when you start to put two and two together of how they're talking about different races and the types of people that they're targeting, because this is a power thing, a taking of innocence thing, it's a racial violence in a certain way when you look at their racial perspective. And you start to put two and two together of what that means about this trafficking network's perspective.
Absolutely.
On white people, on America.
When these people are talking about this in private and they're also running the biggest industries, you don't think that has an impact on how they're making business decisions?
100%.
It has to inform it.
Well, for example, Ronald Lauder the what is it, head of the
world? He's the president of the World Jewish Congress, right. heir to the Estee Lauder fortune.
Estee Lauder fortune is a beauty company. When you dig deep enough into their history, mm-hmm. let's just say you find organized crime right next door. But the Lauders have been deeply tied into the Epstein network, the yep. Mega Group network, the Leslie Wexner network
for
a long time, exactly. So the Lauders certainly very suspicious family, lots of suspicious ties. But now his son-in-law, is my understanding,
yep.
is the new apparently going to be the new head of the Federal Reserve. And Ronald Lauder also, you can find him very recently speaking on the internet, live TV, about how we need censorship laws. It was at one of these many Jewish conferences that seem to happen literally every day now, where he's speaking to all these Jewish people about how we need to be putting Americans in prison for all this horrible, hateful speech, like, you know, the speech we're doing right now, reading of factual information, that kind of stuff. So Ronald Lauder, you know, the heir to this, like, totally not criminal Estee Lauder company that was deeply aligned with Epstein and this whole faction, head of the Jewish Congress, son now about to be head of the Federal Reserve. He is of this supremacist ilk, and he's out there advocating for the censorship of American speech on behalf of, I mean, his buddies,
yeah,
the Epstein network, you know, these Jewish billionaires and whatever they want to do. So that's where it's like, wait. Hold up, America. Why does this person have any power whatsoever? Why do they have a stage? Why is his son-in-law being put in place to run the Federal effing Reserve? That kind of stuff I have serious questions and concerns about, because it kind of looks like Israel's on a timeline here. It kind of feels like we are racing towards a finish line, right? Whether it's war with Iran, whether it's this greater plan to destroy and rebuild the temple, I don't know.
Actually, yesterday, a Israeli minister put out a post on social media where he's, you know, inspecting the red heifers that they plan to sacrifice at the rebuilding of the new temple. So that's definitely part of it. And so I just put out a video called The Eighth Front. It's on my X at Harrison H. Smith. We're going to play the first 5 minutes of it in the first 5 minutes of the next hour. But it gets into all of this, and it gets into Ron Lauder, the World Jewish Congress, demanding not just, you know, censorship, but total command over the entire education system, K-12 plus colleges. And he's saying every single person in every seat of government, Congress and the Senate, has to be subservient to us. And if they're not, we will not only destroy them, we will fund their opponents, which is what they're doing with Thomas Massie. So, I mean, they're saying all of this openly, and there is a timeline. And it's really, you know, run by Netanyahu, who basically is like, we have an opportunity here to seize total control over America and the West. And they consider, you know, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, he's like, we're at war with Rome, and America is the new Rome. We lost last time. We're not going to win. We're not going to lose this time. So, I mean, all of this is directly involved, and is by their own words, what they're engaged in. Interesting that the video that's gone viral with Ron Lauder recently was from 5 years ago, where I think he's like the orange background.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, we have to have anti-Semitism laws. You know, people have to go to jail for this. That was in 2020. So that was 3 years before October 7th.
Cool.
And he was saying it way before it was cool. And he was also the one that wanted to change anti-Semitism. He was like, we got to stop saying that. We got to start saying Jew hatred, because they realize anti-Semitism has sort of lost its oomph in the time being. So, like, these are very important, powerful, rich, like, influential people that clearly are motivated by racial animus against the country that they, you know, are supposed to be citizens of.
You're absolutely right that they are on a timeline, and they're marching towards it, and it's a very organized thing. And I forget what made me think of it, but the TikTok purchase is directly in line with this. Like, they are actually purchasing American media organizations. They are purchasing American social media organizations. They're speaking out loud and openly about why they're doing it and what they're doing. The ADL is just coming out mask off in a lot of these cases. It really is like an all front assault. And I think for a while, people that were vocal about the Israel relationship online kind of got this question of, like, why are you so obsessed with the Israel relationship? But I think, if anything, these Epstein files and the acceleration of this issue, this question, this Jewish supremacist sort of ideology and what its implications are, they put it on full display that, like, well, I mean, when a nation like that declares war on you like this, when they subvert your whole political system by, you know, sexually blackmailing all of your politicians, your businessmen, everything, it's like, what do you not focus on that and you know, excise that? Because the unfortunate thing that kind of comes up when you really look at the whole scope of this is people like the Ron Lauders of this world, people like the Benjamin Netanyahu's of this world, by sort of declaring war on Western culture in that way by declaring war on America, by trying to subjugate American people to Jewish supremacism like that, that supremacist ideology, then the whole world only has two options. Either you fight back or you acquiesce. And it's like, A, no, F that, we're not going to acquiesce. And so you inherently create the exact
self-fulfilling thing.
The prophecy from which your entire Israeli identity is born is this, like, so it's like, what are you guys doing?
But the beautiful thing is we can recognize that and avoid it. Because I talk about this all the time. You know, David Irving is a great example where you can watch him give speeches and you can watch in chronological order. And he starts off going, you know, there are these Jewish groups that are really mad at me, but I didn't intend anything. And like, just calm down, guys. But then like progressively, he's like, they're still attacking me. They're coming at. And so by the end, he's on a tour through Canada. By the end of his tour, he's going, our enemies have once again, you know, raised their fist against me. And it's like, no blaming David Irving. He's a genius and a brilliant historian, but he sort of falls into the trap. He sort of goes, okay, the Jews are attacking me. Bring it on, Jews. And then everybody goes, wow, look at this anti-Semitic guy. You know, we better not listen to him. So it's like, you don't need to fall into that trap. And again, I'm also not saying this is what we really believe, but don't say it out loud. It's like, no, you have to understand the hatred itself is valuable, is what they're trying to create. Don't give it to them. Understand this back and forth, tit for tat. I see it now with the anti-Israel people that are like, we should just kill all the Israelis. It's like, guys, this is the feedback loop. It's the Nazis and the Israelis and the Islamicists. And it's just like back and forth. The only thing that breaks it is to shatter it and go, I see exactly what you're doing. I'm not going to fall for it. I'm also not going to submit myself to you. You can shut the hell up and go away if you don't like it. But I'm not going to fall into the racial hatred that you're clearly intent on inspiring in the rest of us. It's not going to happen.
It's actually the exact same tactic that works on the schoolyard with a 7-year-old bully. It's really no different than when you are a child and a kid comes up and starts bullying another kid. And, you know, parents watch this all the time. Teachers watch this all the time, that if the kid being bullied reacts to the bully, it creates this feedback loop of what the bully was actually looking for in the first place. And often the more manipulative and intelligent bullies actually can play off of that and can create these sort of manipulative cycles. Whereas the kid that's actually self-aware and is just like, no, like whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Like that kid is unbullyable. And, when you're talking about a whole nation, a mature nation, you know, one of the greatest nations on earth, all it requires is for us to rise up and understand our power and understand the subversion that is happening within our midst and to, you know, excise, like burn out the rot that it is at the core, and to actually do something about these P-files that are in here, and to not submit to this, you know, don't stop your free speech, don't stop talking about it, don't stop being a free citizen, but also be the type of free citizen that you'd want to be.
Absolutely.
Be a free American that fights for goodness and for righteousness, right?
And just don't be cowed by social pressure to lie. And, or to not say what you know to be true. Also, don't cow to pressure to like condemn people that don't deserve it. Just think for yourself, folks. And, you know, my classic saying, love everybody, trust nobody, and don't give anybody a pass, and don't target anybody for things that they can't control, like the condition in which they were born. Can you stay for another 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I feel like we're having a good time. I want to go to a video again. In the beginning of the first five.
I want to watch part of this video.
We'll watch the first five. Y'all will want to watch all of it. I am very proud of this video, and maybe we'll show some clips from it. But certainly the first five do again give some context to what we're talking about here, the universal nature of this and sort of the, bipartisan way that this stuff is pushed. So Ian Carroll will stay with me. Thank you, for the next 30 minutes. I am going to be joined by, Doc Pete Chambers in the fourth hour. So he'll be coming on at 2:00, but we'll continue to talk about Jeffrey Epstein and also the way Jeffrey Epstein may himself have been responsible for the destruction of Palmyra, a famous ancient city of beautiful, irreplaceable treasures of humanity destroyed by ISIS. Likely Epstein was responsible for that, and we'll tell you about that. But we'll do the sneak preview of the Eighth Front on the other side. You got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. I'm doing such a bad job plugging because there's so much information. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go there. Get ultramethylene blue if you haven't tried it. Celebrate with us at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know. He sent you more of Ian Carroll on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now look here, even to this very day I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello friends, welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I think there is another revolution coming. I tend to steer it along with the achievement of a broader peace. When history is within reach.
So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven-front war, but an eight-front war.
It's called the Jews against Rome.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people.
Well, we lost that one. We have to win the next one.
But the new Rome, the United States,
Jews against Rome.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
The weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are social media.
Because the next war will be decided based on how Israel and its allies perform online as much as offline.
This is the Eighth Front, the disinformation campaign.
It is actually this Eighth Front where our enemies believe they can actually defeat the Jewish state.
This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
A lot of this is done with money.
Invested billions and billions of dollars in the information battlefield.
Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster.
We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions.
You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters.
Podcasts, short form video, Wikipedia, LLM.
American haters, Churchill haters.
We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
You think your stupid little podcast is going to change the world like hell it is?
Social media, this is the new battlefield.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged Nazi.
We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is
TikTok.
TikTok. TikTok, number one.
For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic.
So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza.
And so we really have a TikTok problem.
because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage, and I sound obscene.
Anti-Zionism is just Jew hatred.
We made a change.
We updated our policies
to designate the use of the term Zionist,
to recognize that the term Zionist
as a proxy for a protected attribute
can be used as a proxy for Jews and Israelis
as hate speech.
Why can't Israel be doing some sort of, you know, counterintelligence?
Right now the ADL is co-writing Sunday school curriculum.
Information warfare like this.
It's building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively.
Like a psychological operations in America.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind.
You're right, we control the media. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to bitch on Twitter? Like, okay. Meanwhile, we're going to control more of the media.
And working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft, we are working with them now to train the LLMs.
We also have, I think, over 24 Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists.
Monitoring campuses, digital networks, activist groups, and public officials.
We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country.
I've talked to the leaders of AI in the world, and you ask yourself, there's so many blessings in this, but there could be a curse.
First thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
We need to invest in intelligence to understand who are the anti-Semites, who's funding them, what's their plans, who are the leaders, and then once we have that, we can define who is an enemy we can attack.
All right, find that full video on my ex at Harrison H. Smith, Morthy and Carol on the other side.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Ian Carroll has been kind enough to lend us more of his precious time. Ian Carroll can be followed on X at Ian Carroll Show and cancelIanCarroll.com. You also have the Buyer app, which is fantastic. But I do want to take a moment, Ian, forgive me, to talk about some of the products we have at thealexjonesstore.com, because I have not done a good job plugging today. Optimal Human is a superfood greens drink mix. There are lots of these. You know, they're all pretty popular. This is the best. This is the best one. It's Optimal Human. It's a green drink. It tastes like green tea. I put a scoop in, glass of cold water, and lemon juice. Add a little lemon juice to it. It's actually delicious.
And lemon juice is actually wicked with it. It's really,
really good.
Cool what it does. Yeah, it transforms the whole flavor. It's delicious.
It is. It tastes like a good green tea, but it's refreshing. You know, it's not something that, you know, you're going to drink and it tastes like powder or something.
Actually, I like slipping a little energy drink into my greens too. I do a little lemon juice, a little energy drink with a scoop or two of that.
You know, that might be too much, because actually what happened was I had this at home and I was like, I haven't been eating very healthily today. I'll take a scoop. But the problem was I did it at like 8 o'clock at night and I was up till 4 in the morning. I didn't realize how much energy this stuff gives you. So, you know, if you can handle it, maybe take it at night, but maybe in the morning is better because it really gives you incredible energy, and it's from Optimal Human. It's available at thealexjonesstore.com. And we also have a new product from Optimal Human that we can hardly keep on the shelf, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot, also from Optimal Human. It's just a fantastic caffeine-free, sugar-free, no jitters energy shot, and we got a couple of boxes of these into the office, and then they all disappeared. The next day, there were like none of them because everybody was plundering them. So if you want to try one, you can have one. But totally we're not supposed to be drinking these because we keep running out, because we love the products, and you will too. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on the air. Keep us in the fight, and really help yourself. It is a true 360 win. Fantastic products, and it goes to support this singular outlet for truth, justice in the American way. Infowars.com. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com to support us. Now, we just showed a little clip about 5 minutes from a longer compilation that I did. That again, I just tried to use people's own voices as they talk about in the beginning. I just found it so sort of disturbing that you have Benjamin Netanyahu saying, we're going to fight Rome again and America is the new Rome. And it's just like, this is not good. It's not all right. It's not okay that we have these people like Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL with this like unquestionable position to direct the FBI in America. I mean, it's crazy. And the whole video is about 15 minutes long. You've only seen a third of it. You can go to my Twitter at Harrison H. Smith and watch it. It's my new pinned tweet. But this is it. It's sort of like they're coming out in the open. And in fact, there's a clip at the end that if you watch this, it's going to blow your mind. But it's a guy who runs the Tikva Fund, if you're familiar with that. And he says, in no uncertain words, he says, basically, this whole American Jewish experiment is over. And he says, Jews have never been normal. And for a couple decades, we've been able to live in comfort in America. But that was a holiday from our destiny. And it's time to reclaim our destiny and remember that being Jewish is the most important thing. And so it's this declaration to his fellow Jews saying, abandon America. Forget America. You're on our team, not the American team. And I find that really sickening from a fellow American.
Absolutely. And it's, I'm told it's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that right. Jews would be more loyal to another nation rather than their own. We had that very much drilled into us. It's actually being slow walked into law in America that if you suggest right. that is illegal. And so it's not only is it a betrayal of his own country, and not only is it a betrayal of American values, and a betrayal of their own word to everyone else about what they wanted, you know, how they wanted to be treated in the global community. But it's also kind of a betrayal to other Jews, because that's the thing about being a diaspora community, is that all Jewish people are reliant on each other for how they're going to represent their diaspora community. And if all Jewish people are good Samaritans that get along well, that are great, you know, members of their communities and their nations that they live in, then that's great. And they're all welcome citizens and all that. But if there's a whole bunch of them that are actually being loyal to another nation, that are subverting the nations they're in, that are running pedophile sexual blackmail rings, then they're actually subverting their own national identity as Jewish people abroad and ruining it for all the other regular Jewish people. And it's horrible.
Absolutely. And it's a lie, by the way, this idea that like, oh, America was good for us, but that's going away now. And we have to, you know, you have to flee to Israel. I mean, there are multiple people, again, billionaires, heads of companies that are saying, literally they're saying, you can stay in New York and be a part of the dying empire, or you can come to Israel and be a part of the rising empire. And it's like, that is such a betrayal of America. And it's not true about this idea that like, oh, well, you know, it's just, we're gonna, you know, Jews are not safe in America anymore. That's not true. Now, if you have a bunch of Jewish leaders like openly talking about trying to destroy America, okay, it's not gonna go well for you, but that's them. That's Eric Cohen of the Tikva, you know, the president of the Tikva Foundation.
It's such a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Exactly. So it's a lie. Jews have been treated amazingly in America for their entire existence here. And it's been a great thing. But now these people basically want to convince you, that you have to flee with them and give your power to them and invest in their companies because, you know, it's too dangerous in
Especially,
America. It's
well,
a lie.
They're the protected class in America right now. They're the ones that have speech laws protecting them. They're the ones that have, like, you know, the DOJ investigating people that say mean things about Jews on college campuses in random places. Like, they are very much the ones that are running the show right now in terms of their cultural dominance. So it's like, no, it's not that America's becoming inhospitable to you. Like, yeah, America's waking up to, you know, things like this and things like those statements, things like that these, you know, Jewish billionaires and elites are saying. But like, being treated just like everyone else, I'm sorry. Yeah, if that's the big downfall is, oh no, you have to be treated like everyone else. You have to be equal in America, the land of equality. Boo-hoo. Maybe America's not for you. Maybe you should move back to Israel and go and do your own little thing over there. Just don't come over here and tell us how to live our lives and what we can and can't speak about.
Exactly. And look, this applies not just to Jews, but to everybody. I'd say the same thing to Somalis. And of course, it's the same thing that, you know, Black Lives Matter will do is they tell black people, oh, everybody might be, they might seem nice at first, you know, oh, the white people you know might act nice to your face, but they all hate you behind the scenes. Actually, everybody in America is super racist and they're just hiding it from you. I mean, it is a well-developed strategy of racial inclusivity and exclusivity that is very useful to people who don't want humanity united.
And it is repeatedly used by subversives.
100%.
Be those intelligence agencies, crime groups, other factions. You know, it's COINTELPRO 101.
Yeah.
You know, group people up, divide them on race, divide them on all these other things. Anything but class. Divide them on anything but class. Because, you know, can't have the people looking up at our overlords that are trafficking our children. It's concerning and uplifting to watch America kind of wake up to this Israel question all at once. And it's happening in rapid succession. It's a little uncomfortable because it can go so many ways wrong. And it's inspiring Israel and wealthy and powerful Jewish people to do a lot of erratic and dangerous things with their influence and power.
Which is so strange because literally if I could sit down with some Jewish billionaires and talk to them, I'd be like, the solution is very, very simple. Help America. We use your incredible influence and money to like help the average American do better. But like when all of that influence,
when they think that Americans are scum, that are not full souls, if they have that same belief that Jeffrey Epstein and his buddies were elucidating in those email correspondences, that is a huge roadblock to them uplifting America at all, helping Americans for any reason, right?
Yeah. So, you know, hoisted by their own petard, I guess, screwed by their own ideology.
You would think it would be very simple to just be good people.
Yeah.
Being good people would solve a lot of problems around here. But apparently that's too hard for some of these people.
And especially, it feels weird. Cause I don't like, you know, it's like the token Jew or whatever, but there are so many good examples of Jewish right wingers, Mike Cernovich, Dave Smith, who just like, it's like, this is not hard. This is not a difficult mindset to accomplish. Like Cernovich, he's Jewish. He says the racism Jeffrey Epstein had for white people is evident throughout his emails. This won't get reported on much, but Serge Goy,
it's straight out.
Yeah, it's not used to denote a non-Jewish person. It's a slur. Ethnic and racial hatred in all forms should be called out. That is not a hard thing to say. I thank Mike Cernovich for saying that, but everybody should. It's not even like it's weird that this is unique and special and like should be pointed out and celebrated because everyone should feel this way about everyone. But unless you got anything else, I want to move on from this topic because there's so much other stuff.
We can talk about this topic for years.
Yeah, yeah, we can
down it forever.
Enough
we
of that.
We probably will. I mean, I'll keep talking about it on my show. I'm sure you'll have more sections about it too. Let's get into some more interesting stuff too.
Yeah, because there is some absolutely insane stuff in these Epstein files, and this one I find out of all the crimes. I mean, there are some horrific crimes out there. This one to me is a crime against humanity. That's really unparalleled. Mossad agent Epstein and the U.S. helped ISIS. This is from Syrian Girl at Partisan Girl on X. Epstein wrote that Turkey gave Jabhat al-Nusra advance notice and the U.S., quote, gave a pass to ISIS during its move on Palmyra, Syria. They didn't just give it a pass. They actually bombed the Syrian army when the Syrian army tried to stop ISIS. Palmyra and its ancient ruins were destroyed and the head of the architectural museum was beheaded. So, I mean, the crew can look up the Palmyra ruins. I mean, these were a treasure of antiquity that were allowed to be destroyed by the cultural arsonists of ISIS. And Epstein and the U.S. and his handlers in Israel were directly involved in allowing ISIS because they were so mad that Bashar al-Assad, you know, would stand up to Israel that I guess we have to destroy these truly priceless treasures of antiquity, this inheritance of humanity gone forever. Because of Jeffrey Epstein and his ilk.
I mean, it also highlights this very questionable relationship between ISIS and Israel keeps coming up, right? Where, you know, you start to wonder, wait a minute, why doesn't ISIS ever attack Israel? Why are they always attacking the people that you would expect to be on their team? Why are they working together behind the scenes? You can dig down that rabbit hole for yourself if you want. But one thing that this story highlights, not only the tragedy of the loss of life, the tragedy of the loss of the cultural, relics that can never be gotten back, is it's a pattern. It highlights a pattern that has become more and more apparent as each email drop has come out, all the way, like, starting with the Ehud Barak email drops, and then through each of these Epstein drops, there's just more and more stories where what used to be portrayed as, oh, he's just a lone pedophile that just was into Victoria's Secret models, actually was like an international spy that was doing arms deals in Ivory Coast. He was doing deals in Mongolia. He was doing deals around Syria. He was all over the world with the ex-head of Israeli military intelligence, and former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, doing very much Israeli spy military stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And again, the way I was describing it, I mean, spy, mobster, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, you watch The Sopranos and it's like, what is Tony Soprano's job? He goes into the office of a politician and says, I need $1 million. Give it to me or the blackmail goes out. I mean, that's his job. That's what he does. So it's like, they're like, how is he tied into all of this? Well, he's a fixer. I think it was Alex. I can't remember if it was Alex or you that called him a switchboard operator, basically. He was the he was the connection. He had all of the phone numbers. He had all of the connects. So he could connect anybody to anybody. So you needed weapons, you went to Jeff, he could connect you to the weapons guy. It's just what he did. He was a freewheeling, not a free agent because he had bosses, but could go anywhere, be anything to anybody. He was a spy. In the same way that James Bond, when he goes to investigate Le Chiffre, he's a professional poker player. When he goes to this place, he's a, you know, industrial magnate. It doesn't matter. It's whatever role he needs to fill. He's an actor at the end of the day, well, an actor for
actually, you bring us
criminals.
To a really interesting point here. Let me just check. Yeah, we have enough time to talk about this because the huge elephant in the room is actually what Jeffrey Epstein was best at and what his actual, like, core primary job was, which was money laundering.
Right.
Like, Jeffrey Epstein was the money guy. And it's, you know, some journalists kind of were onto this earlier than others over the years. It took certain amounts of disclosure for it to really become more and more transparent and clear. But for the longest time, the question was, where did this guy get his money? What was his skill set? And why was he valuable to these people? Why was he interacting with all these people? And it became more and more obvious over the years in the various disclosure drops that his skill was complex financial instruments being used to launder money. And back in the early days, that was like derivatives and things like CDOs, the kinds of derivatives that were used during the 08 financial collapse. He had a whole bunch of CDO companies off in offshore, you know, tax havens in the Bahamas and stuff. That, you know, mysteriously disappeared right before the 08 financial collapse. But then he also got really good at using charities and charitable foundations and, you know, 501c3s and all these different structures. He was a master, apparently, at extremely complex movements of money through all these different strategies. And to such an extent that he was referring people, like some of the most powerful people in the world, he was referring them to JP Morgan for banking services, which is quite the euphemism there. And so you start to realize, you start to put two and two and two and two together, and you realize that he's referring them because he is the money guy. He is getting them connected into this money laundering network. And when you start to look at all the people that he referred, all the people that he worked with, and those connections, you start to ask the question, wait a minute, how much money was flowing through, like not staying in his account, but flowing through his various networked accounts? And I would suspect, in my own opinion, I would suspect that it is billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. And I would bet that if this disclosure is slanted in any direction, it's slanted towards all the salacious pedophilia to get you to ignore all the money, because all that money is still flowing. And all like Sergey Brin, founder of Google, Larry Page, founder of Google, Elon Musk tried to get it. I don't know if Elon Musk actually wound up getting the full referral. A bunch of these guys are getting referred to JP Morgan. Benjamin Netanyahu got set up with JP Morgan through him. Ehud Barak did. All sorts of people, like many, many, many very powerful billionaires. And so I can't help but wonder, what are those money flows doing today? Mm. What is the money laundering status with these various operations that were flowing through him today? And why is none of the mainstream reporting talking about the money and talking about the banking and talking about all that back end? Because, you know, follow the money, you'll find the real, you know, the real deal in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just too obscure and occult for the average person to sink their teeth into. Because obviously, hearing, did you torture the woman? A lot easier to just sink your teeth into that than like, well, he was transferring this. So I wonder, is there a way to make the case that, like, no, you should be paying attention to this. This is where the power, you know, truly lies. Make that in a way that's as compelling, maybe not as compelling, but
yeah,
you know,
never will be.
Never will be, right?
It never will be as compelling, and another be
but it's
as
more important.
Good of a story, but I think that the onus falls to journalists to do that. And it's the stuff that I'm trying to dig into over the next couple months. And I've been focusing a lot on it over the last couple months of just digging apart everything we know about the money and about the money trail, the various banking institutions that he was working with, the various shell companies he had set up. Because as a journalist, if you can get that thread to link up to the next big piece of the story, then it can become compelling enough to tell it in a way that's like, oh, guys, get this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But without the linkages, it's just a bunch of complex shell companies, which is what money laundering is. It's like obscuring the money flows through a bunch of complex stuff that is just hard to track. So I'm not sure what is on the other end of that. And I know there's a bunch of good journalists digging into it, and I hope they don't stop. I'm going to personally not stop because this is salacious and this is important, and all of the trafficking and abuse is critical to expose and to talk about. But if you don't also uncover the money flows, then the actual system is going to stay in place.
Right.
Right. The actual abusive networks, the organized crime networks, everything that this was built on top of was the money. And so it's like fixing the rash, but not fixing the disease that caused the rash in the first place.
Well, and the money is also the way you ingratiate yourself with everybody, right? Everybody's going to come to you and want to be your friend because you're sitting there going, I think I've got $5 billion I want to spend on something. Gee, I wonder what it'll be. And so, that's where people are like, how does he know all these people? He's hanging out with scientists, whatever else. So I think you're right that, obviously he was the money guy and he was very involved in all of that. And you do see little hints of that throughout this. But also he was like the science guy. He was like, he was hanging out with Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking. And, he was trying to portray himself as this science dude, really just like trying to like clone sex slaves. He's just creepiest dude ever. But it's the money that allowed him to ingratiate himself in that. And
exactly.
And it's like people are like, why are they hanging out with this Israeli spy? It's because he didn't say, hey, I'm an Israeli spy. He said, hey, I've got $1 billion. Maybe I'll invest it. Come to my island. And suddenly they're on tape with somebody doing something. And half their company belongs to Epstein. It's very convenient.
It's when you actually trace all of the different tech companies he was involved with or funded, all the different scientists that he was working with, all the different institutions like MIT, Harvard that he was tied into. When you actually trace all of those threads forwards, you realize that his network and this corruption, this rot, is actually ingrained very deeply into a lot of institutions and companies and government systems that we rely on today, like Palantir.
Yep.
It's getting more and more exposed every day that Peter, at first it was, oh, he talked to Peter Thiel once at one dinner. And then it was, oh, he invested with Valor Ventures just a little bit. And then it was like, oh, they're like emailing a lot. They like met a lot. They were like telling jokes back and forth.
And then we played the audio today where he's describing Palantir and Peter Thiel to Amy Brock.
It's crazy. It's like they can run an international child sex trafficking ring, but they can't spell.
They can't spell like Palantir.
They spelled it four different ways within like 30 seconds. It's like, dude, you guys are not that smart sometimes. Like, what's going on?
It is pretty crazy. And then there's this. I don't know if we have time to fully deconstruct this, but in this email, Epstein says Davos can replace the UN, cyber, crypto, genetics, international coordination, which is more or less exactly what's happening with Trump, BlackRock, Elon Musk, Palantir, the technocracy, AI governance, transhumanism, and ultimately rebranding the New World Order into something of a more MAGA palatable operation. As I've been saying, that is why Trump was a keynote at the World Economic Forum. See, I don't agree with that, but the Board of Peace, the Gaza Smart City absolutely ties into that. And we have the emails from before. I think it was Larry Ellison talking to Ehud Barak about how Marco Rubio and Tony Blair need to meet up together. Now Marco Rubio and Tony Blair are like the two people in charge of the Gaza Board of Peace, which is starting to serve as like a technocratic control system, New World Order structure. So
corporatocracy.
Pretty interesting. Epstein is saying, who needs the UN when Davos can replace it? It has the same level of international coordination.
And it's also very it's just in line with like, let's try to run the world.
Yeah.
It's very, let's run the whole world. And, that's supposed to be a conspiracy theory. It's supposed to be a conspiracy theory that there's a elite pedophile network that's like trafficking children and running the world. And yet we have an elite pedophile network that's tied into all these governments, that's all these billionaires, all these tech executives, and they are trying to run the world objectively. And they're like literally, he's literally saying, I represent the Rothschilds and the Rothschild power. And so when you look at Davos, when you look at the various groups he names there, it's just very the conspiracy theorists are vindicated in so many ways. Whether you're talking about like the old school cats, like the David Icke's that have been here since like before Davos was even like in its prime. I don't know if David Icke is that old, but like we have all the way from the days of the Trilateral Commission,
yeah.
You know, the Council on Foreign Relations through Davos today. And Davos is in many ways kind of feels a little in decline now. And
it is.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, they're reorganizing.
New,
yeah. Redesigning their
representative, kind of faction there.
But they brought Larry Fink on. I mean, it seems like they really transferred away from like, no, we're just loving and we want to help the earth. So like help. Then they're just like, yeah, screw it. No, put Larry Fink in charge. We're going to exploit all of you to death. I mean, that really, and of course, in Europe, it's like Macron, ex-Rothschild banker, Frederick Merz, ex-Goldman Sachs banker. You've got, Keir Starmer was the guy who covered up the pedophile rape gangs in the UK. It's like they've gone.
They just brought Mark Carney over to Canada too.
And Mark Carney, former Bank of England. Exactly. I knew I was missing one. Yes, they're all former bankers. So it seems like they're like, yeah, we're done ruling from the shadows. We're just going to sit on the throne now.
It does feel like that. It feels like we're at a time of acceleration and I'm sure that they know why we're accelerating. I don't think that we necessarily know why. But I think that everyone kind of agrees when you look at the pattern, something is accelerating and it's sketching me out. AI is accelerating. Their pace is accelerating. Geopolitics is accelerating. I don't know what it means, but
I don't know what it means either.
Frosty as heck.
it feels like we have the initiative. It feels like for the first, I mean, they would have false flagged if they knew this was coming. It feels like this has, at least for a brief period, set them back on their heels, which means we need to be driving forward with everything we've got. They're off balance. They're scattered. Run them down, folks. Ian Carroll, incredible stuff. Ian Carroll, show on X. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We still have a lot to talk about. We're going to move away from the Epstein files because they are not, in fact, the only thing happening in the world. They might be the most interesting and important, but far from the only thing. And there is some incredible developments happening in the continent of Europe. Incredible, not in a good way, in actually a horrifying and disturbing way, because it appears as though the rulers of Europe have decided to no longer pretend that they actually care about the indigenous people of Europe and have actually just fully embraced replacement migration, the Great Replacement, or put another way, European genocide, the eradication of a people and their memory from the earth. It's horrifying, but absolutely in your face at this point. We have a couple of examples. Let's go first to clip number 12. This is Jean-Luc Mélenchon, leader of the French far-left political party called La France Insoumise, I guess. So here's, someone from France, a European party leader from France, basically saying, embrace the genocide. Embrace your own death. The Great Replacement is here. Embrace it. Let's watch. He says, lists to embody new France, that of the Great Replacement, that of the generation that replaces the other, because it's been like that since the dawn of time. And that's not because there were 10 crazy in the corner who all of a sudden were afraid of being replaced with their own children, that we must share their fear. Do you see what he's saying? And talk about gaslighting. He's saying you're afraid of being replaced, but you're going to be replaced with your own children, so isn't that the same? As if handing my inheritance down to my children, the fulfillment of every human drive, since the dawn of time, if you're going to hand off your stuff to your progeny, why won't you just hand it to Akbar from God knows where? It's basically the same, right? You're not going to have it anymore. So it's either going to go to your offspring, your children, the genetic line passed down for 10,000 years that you continue that gift, or it can just be taken by some dude from Mauritania. And that's the same, I guess. And I guess you're crazy. It's almost like they're trying to portray just wanting to exist in your own country as some sort of like existential rejection of death or something. It's like, no, the nation is the nation. We hand it down to our children. Like, what am I having to explain right now? What am I trying to elucidate? Like, what is going on that I'm trying to explain that handing your nation to your children is not the same as your nation being occupied by a bunch of hostile foreigners? Do I need to explain this? What the hell is going on? And what type of psychopath tries to psyop an entire nation of people into their own demise. It is beyond sickening. And obviously there's going to be, and there already is starting to be, a corresponding equal and opposite reaction to these calls. But it is totally like, what the hell is going on? I'm actually speechless about the fact that we are now at this point where the people of Europe are being told by their own politicians to embrace their liquidation, essentially. I've got a video out of France about this as well, but let's go to clip number 42 here, because this is gaslighting 101. This is like, if you could, if you wanted to learn how to gaslight, if you didn't know what gaslighting was, like, this is the dictionary definition. It's so crazy what you're about to see, but you're about to see a grown ass Muslim man in the UK trying to gaslight a 14-year-old who just is having none of it. And God bless him. We need more kids like this. This is gaslighting to a degree that I'm offended. Let's watch.
I mean, let's look around. How many English people do you see right now?
How do you know they're English or not?
Oh, but I mean, look at them.
How do you know? Because they're not white.
Nah, not because they're not white. They just look a bit weird, innit?
What does that mean, though? That's the problem. We have a situation where everyone's going to vote for a party that's far right to say these people are bad, this is the problem. But it's far more complicated than that. It's a socioeconomic problem where...
I just want my country back.
What country, though?
This country.
How old are you? 15? I'm 38.
No, I'm 14.
The country's been the same, my boy. Honestly.
I don't know.
It's scary because on TikTok, Insta, YouTube, you get all these like sound bites that are really pushing you to one perspective. You've got your own mind. You can do.
No, this is my own mind. I just don't like immigrants.
But why though?
I don't know. Have you heard yourself? You're a subversive worm. Why would anybody like you? Why would anybody want you to be anywhere near their country? So a couple strategies on display here for our investigation. First, he tries to deconstruct basic reality by forcing the kid to arrive at a definition that is unnecessary and that he can likely pick apart. We see this strategy absolutely everywhere, and especially with white people. I mean, white people are sort of the classic case, right? It's like, well, what is white? There's no such thing as white. There's English and there's German and there's Irish, like, so which one are you? And it's like, okay, I'm English. And it's like, well, English, I mean, there were different groups that all came to England at different points. So what does that mean? It's just like, it's just this deconstructionism. It's just a strategy. It's rhetoric. It doesn't mean anything, right? He says, you know, the kid says, look around. I don't see any English people. And the guy's like, well, what does English mean? What does that mean? What did define that? And of course, the definition is English people, people of English heritage, people whose families have been here for 10,000 years. He knows what it means. Everybody knows what it means. It's gaslighting. It's making you feel crazy because you're using words that everybody knows the definition of. And they're like, what? How? Who is English? What does that even mean? How can you define it? And, you know, so what do you say? Well, people born here. And he's like, well, I was born here. And it's like, okay, well, people whose parents were born. English people, I don't know. But by forcing you, like, well, why don't you define that? And then whatever the definition is, he'll be able to pick apart. And at the bottom of it, what you have to understand is that what he's saying is that you don't exist. English doesn't exist. England doesn't exist. The English people don't exist. It's like the most offensive thing you could possibly imagine. The gaslighting is just, again, completely off the charts, bonkers madness. But then he, you know, as if the kid has to justify why he wants his country to exist in the first place. That's another aspect of the gaslighting, to impose upon you that you have to justify your continuing existence. It's not enough for you just to say, it's my country and I want my country to continue to be my country. It's like, well, why? Why should you be allowed to do it? No, you don't have to give them a reason because it's your country. Okay, so it's another aspect of the gaslighting taking place. He's like, how old are you? Kid's like 15. He's like, well, it's been like this the whole time. As if, A, we can't understand the world that came before. Yet, England has been under demographic assault for 30 years. But we have video from the 1980s. We have video from the 1990s. We can see what the UK was like. This kid is homesick for a place he's never been. This kid is desperate to return to a homeland that he's been exiled from in perpetuity. It's horrifying, but that's exactly what's happening. And again, it's just, and then, but then the real, the gaslighting, you know, piece de resistance, their favorite thing to do is to say, you've been psyoped into this belief. First, they're going to say that there's no such thing as English, that they'll, you know, you have to define that, and whatever your definition is, I'm going to pick apart and try to convince you that English doesn't exist and you're a racist for thinking that it does. Ridiculous. But then if you just say, well, I'm English and I want everybody around me to be English, I want England to be English, they say, well, you know, first of all, what does that mean? Second of all, why? Second of all, justify it. Justify to us why you deserve to continue living. Okay? That's horrifying. And then if you say, well, I just don't like immigrants or whatever it is, I prefer to live around my home. If you do justify it, then they basically say, well, you can't. You're not allowed to do that. And you didn't come up with that. And you've been indoctrinated into this. And you don't even understand what you think. It's because Instagram, the algorithms have convinced you that you want your nation to continue to exist. It, again, it's like so offensive. And the kid is awesome. He's just like, no, this is my thoughts. No, I think that, but like, that is like the ultimate level of gaslighting. When somebody just arrives to a conclusion, which by the way, every single pressure point in his life is trying desperately to drive him away from this point, right? They have literal like video game program psychological operations that they force English kids to play that are deliberately designed to psychologically terrorize the English people and convince them that their own replacement is a good thing. It's like actually a program in the UK now to force children to play this game. But whether it's games and TV and music and every news program and the adult men on the street trying to convince, every pressure he is confronted with is trying desperately to convince him not to hold this view. And yet he holds it. And then the person says, you've been brainwashed into this view. Despite the fact that the view they're pushing is the ultimate goal of every brainwashing psychological operation out there right now. And yet this kid is able to withstand it. This kid is able to see through it and resist it. And so he's told, you're the one that's propagandized. You're the one that's been, you know, mind controlled by Instagram algorithms. It's so insulting. It's so offensive. And I can't say what I want that man to have done with himself. I just at a certain point, you gotta look to the old ways, England. You have to reclaim your sovereignty. You have to go to the edge of the lake and pray for the lady to hand Excalibur to a worthy champion and then rain death upon your enemies. It's like it's time. It's time now, actually. It's time to seize Excalibur. It's time to draw the sword from the stone. It's time to reign as sovereign in your own countries again, because you are rapidly running out of time. Very rapidly. Let's go to clip number 37 here. Again, the UK. The UK government is just basically full of homicidal maniacs who hate their own people. Let's watch.
Myself, I'm being very vocal on social media and on these programs against illegal immigration and against these migrant hotels. It is my belief that the government is facilitating the rape and the murder of British girls in this country by unchecked, unverified foreign men. Very few countries would allow this to happen. You know, the Americans that I know are looking at us in horror. How can you put these people amongst your women and children in your communities? It simply does not make sense. This can be stopped and it must be stopped. One incident is enough. But I'm putting one incident nearly every day on my social media of a rape, a sexual assault, and now we've got brutal murders like this. This country is in a death spiral, and we need this government to do it. But with a human rights lawyer as our Prime Minister, nothing is going to get done.
All right. Well,
and again, it's like, it's just, what type of world do we live in where that most basic sentiment is like revolutionary? No other country in the history of the world would voluntarily bring in a million rapist barbarians. Like, what? No. Let me explain. No other country would ever do that And by the way, the UK hasn't done that. The UK is ruled by their enemies. Do you understand? Asylum seeker sex pest targeted two women on the train in terrifying ordeal before sexually assaulting one, but is spared jail after judge is told he has, quote, no friends in the UK. Oh, but he doesn't have any friends, so I guess it's okay he rapes people. Great. And the case that actually the guy was just talking about, the judge decided that the jury should not know that he's an asylum seeker. So they'd like hide actually the fact that these are foreign men doing this in an attempt to get them off of the charges. Okay, let's go to clip 21 here. We heard from France and them saying they're embracing the great replacement because, hell, you're going to hand your country to your children, right? Why not hand them to your enemies? It's basically the same. You're handing it to somebody, right? And that's the thing that matters. Just completely insane. Let's go to Spain here. The leader of the Spanish far left party admits at a event that she's in favor of replacing the native population with foreigners. Let's watch. Does it want to speak to you about migrants and radicalized people? Please don't leave us alone with so many right wingers. And of course, we do not. Well, we do want them to vote. Of course, we have achieved papers, regularization already, nationality to change the law so they can vote. Of course, I hope. Replacement theory. Hopefully, we can sweep this country of right-wingers and racists with migrant people and hardworking people. Of course, I want there to be a replacement. Replacement of right-wingers, replacement of racists, replacement of scroungers. We can do it with the working people of this country. Whatever skin color you have, whether it's black, Chinese, brownoid, all comrades, the people of this country. So, you know, they did this. This came to fruition. They decided without a vote, without the ability of anybody to argue against it, just somebody in the Spanish government decided to gift 500,000 foreigners with citizenship so that they can now vote. Again, the only reason expressed is to replace white people, to replace the people there. I mean, the Spanish suffered under the yoke of Muslims for like 1,000 years, did the Reconquista in this miraculous drive to expel the foreigners, and fought for literally centuries. I mean, the Reconquista took centuries of fighting. Entire generations were born, died, gave birth, born, died, gave birth. Like, your great-grandfather was fighting the same fight you were fighting. And they won, and they succeeded, and they expelled the Muslims from Spain. And then they're going to lose it in a single generation because of a bunch of leftist activists, retard communists. You know, Franco knew how to deal with these people. Franco was right. They tried to do this in the 30s to Spain. It took a concerted proto-fascistic response to crush the uprising. And even during that, you still had them exhuming the bodies of nuns to put on display to jeer at and desecrate in part of their drive to destroy the Catholic nature of Spain. What are we doing here? You're going to allow some privileged art school bimbo to sell out your birthright that your forefathers fought and died for generation over generation? It's despicable that they're allowing this to happen. Now, luckily, it seems like Spain still has a little bit of testosterone left, and there are like major protest response to this. But first, we'll go to clip 16 here. This is what it looks like for all of the migrants standing in line to take advantage of that offer for citizenship. Here's who's signing up for citizenship. Clip 16 now. There you go. Just nothing but men. Not a woman to be seen, not a child to be seen, just adult Arab men standing in line as far as the eye can see. Just becoming Spanish all of a sudden because the people who run Spain hate the Spanish people and are not even disguising that that's their motivation. So, it's beyond horrific as far as I'm concerned. We can go to clip 49. This is the small Spanish city that borders Morocco and offers access directly into Europe. This is what happened as soon as they announced that they would be giving away citizenship to Spain. This is what a small town on the border of Morocco and Spain looks like. There you go. Again, just a bunch of adult African men thrilled to be able to plunder and loot Europe without even having to fight for it. As the Europeans lay down and allow their entire race to be raped to death. Literally, and I'm, that's not a turn of phrase. I'm literally describing the method by which Europe is dying. It's being raped to death. So maybe you want to do something about that. Maybe you want to do something about that, Europeans. I don't know. I mean, we need to do something about it here too. So I'm not saying we're completely immune to this, but there are images out of Spain of like huge crowds meeting up in stadiums all chanting F Pedro Sanchez, who I guess is the guy that decided to do this unilaterally. It's just completely horrifying. It really is beyond horrifying. And I want to go to another video here because I showed you before that 14-year-old withstanding the professional gaslighting from the adult Muslim man. I have another example, similar level of gaslighting, this time from a gay man to a mother who is not having any of it. I absolutely love this. Clip 13. Where is this energy across the country when a bunch of disgusting perverts want to take over your elementary school curriculum to trans your kids? Let's watch.
I'm not against nobody, but what I'm trying to tell you, you gonna respect me and what his father got going on. This is not something appropriate for you to be spreading that around schools. This is something you keep at home and whatever locked up in your closet, honey. But don't play that around for my son.
That's some stuff.
Martinez, how old are you?
No.
14.
It don't matter how old he is right now.
You know what he's doing?
No.
Listen, he's 14. He live in my home under my roof. His father and me do not condone stuff like that. So what I'm gonna ask you to do is don't ever bring that around my son. Okay? Ever again.
Why can't we do something? Why don't you come to school and we can talk? But we cannot do this here. I have students right there. They also had their flag. I have some friends that came to me and they were so happy that I'm teaching them how to express themselves with a flag, with the LGBT community.
I'm sorry. I don't need to come to school. I approached the situation right here, right now, because I am highly pissed off and I will be going to tell the principal or the board or whoever it is that I need to talk to about that. But right now, I'm telling you, before it becomes a huge problem, don't let that happen.
And y'all shouldn't be teaching at the school anyway.
Absolutely brilliant. Exactly how you need to handle it. And again, we see the methods of the leftist gaslighting on display. I mean, the temerity of these people. And this guy actually is doing it in person, which again is really shocking. Because I want you to imagine this on like a really truly personal level. Like this guy is trying to hand out rainbow flags at a school. So the mom approaches him. She doesn't know who he is. But like the response when she says, you keep this stuff away from my son. We don't want anything to do with it. You need to respect our wishes as the parents. What is his response? His response is, how old is he? How old is the kid? 14? He's old enough to decide. He's old enough to be free from you. He's old enough to be on my side, not yours. He's old enough for me to seduce him into this lifestyle. Can you imagine? Imagine if somebody comes over to your house and is trying to talk to your 14-year-old alone in his bedroom. Imagine an adult man is in your 14-year-old's adult, bedroom and is telling you, he has a right to invite me here. He's old enough to decide. I get to talk to him about this because I want to. And he's 14, which I've decided is old enough for him to be introduced to this stuff. You might kill him. I mean, if somebody does that in your own home, you might kill him. If you can't control it. I would have trouble if somebody thought they could say that to me. This guy just thinks he can say it. And then when she pushes back and just says, F you, it's my son. He lives in my roof. These are my rules. You will respect that. What does he say? Well, let's go talk about that. Maybe we can go to the school and like debate this a little bit. Same type of thing with the 14-year-old. It's like, well, explain to me. You have to justify why you want to protect your child from me. You have to explain, here comes a guy who wants to impose his view, impose his lifestyle, impose everything on you. And then when you say no, it's like you have to justify it to him. You have to he wants to bring in a mediator to determine whether or not he gets to impose on you. Both these people, the little UK kid and the mom bear there showed you the only way you deal with these people. You just put your foot down. You just don't fall for any of it. You don't give them a single damn inch. And you just say, absolutely not. You're keeping this away from my children. You're keeping this away from my life, or we're going to have trouble. And that's the end of that.
Harrison, you are on fire today. I'm a Purdue administrative staff. They're very close to shutting us down, so I've been having to deal with that. Great job with you and Ian Carroll, too. I've been trying to get Doc Chambers on for 6 months. He's finally here in town, back where he basically lives outside of town. Incredible, you know, soldier, Green Beret, veteran, medical doctor. Great war stories you get to tell him. They didn't bring his dog today, but he's running for governor, and he's already gotten Abbott to be way more hardcore. He has a good chance of winning, too.
He's coming up next.
He's the guy we need.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. The SAVE Act, H.R. 22, or the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, was originally introduced by Representative Chip Roy and passed by the House in April of 2025.
The SAVE Act is a great bill. Mike and I updated our SAVE Act, which focuses on citizenship. We added the voter ID, to your point. That's now the Save America Act, and it's a great bill. And we want to move that bill over to the Senate and then force the Senate to act. I want Democrats to have to explain why they want non-citizens to vote in our elections and they don't want common sense voter ID in federal elections.
Can you explain how requiring proof of ID is voter suppression?
That's not a statement that I ever made.
You sure about that?
Then you should have brought the SAVE Act, which is a voter suppression bill.
The bill demands ironclad documentary proof of U.S. citizenship for federal voter registration, slamming the door shut on any loophole for non-citizens to sneak onto our rolls.
The way the voting system is structured, we see quite a few flaws. You're able to register even if and cast a vote if you don't live in the country, as evident of his brother in Pakistan. And I think we have some evidence of two or three other people out of the country that have voted. Is that correct?
Yeah, approximately two or three other people out of the country, as well as people residing outside of the district.
All you have to do is click a box and say that you're not lying, and then you'll get an email from the Secretary of State or something in the mail saying thank you for registering to vote, and there you are. Once you're on the voter rolls, anytime an election comes around, guess what? You get mailed a ballot.
And we found that there were just about 5+ million of them that came to the country as illegals, were giving various forms of parole or allowed in the country, and they got through an automatic system, Social Security numbers, so they get into our benefit systems. And we tracked that through and found that they were on the benefit programs. And just because we were curious, we then looked to see if they were on the voter rolls. And we found in a handful of cooperative states that there were thousands of them on the voter rolls, and that many of them had voted.
71% of sovereign countries require voter ID, while about 15% require basic personal details, and 13% require some form of non-photo ID. Only a small minority of countries have no ID-like requirement at all.
They will bring in hundreds of illegals. They will spread them out across all of these plants and factories, giving them jobs. They're all using the same Social Security number. The IRS unconnected our names from the Social Security number. Now when you look it up, it just pings to see if there's an employer. If there is, it says it's good. It validates it. Why do they do that? Because all of these factories are giving them Social Security numbers. The government turns its back on it. As soon as you have a Social Security number and you go over to Motor Voter, pass the driver's test, right? You get a driver's license. The person looks, you got a social, you must be a citizen. That's how they pack the rolls.
Nearly a year after House passage, the Senate remains the choke point, with Majority Leader John Thune publicly signaling support and stating a vote is coming at some point once an updated version clears committee. Thune must bring the bill or its stronger Save America Act companion out of committee, schedule floor time, and rally the 53 GOP senators plus at least 7 Democrats or nuke the filibuster to hit 60 votes and break through Democratic resistance. It's not optional. Thune either delivers on this core integrity promise or faces the wrath of the growing awareness of the American people.
So the latest voter suppression bill is not a serious thing. Let's just be clear about that. You're asking me a legitimate question, but it's an illegitimate bill. That's dead on arrival. It's going nowhere.
Things could get pretty messy here on the Hill today as House Republicans may have to advance this package of government spending bills without any help from Democrats whatsoever. Now, the first thing that House Republicans have to do is pass a complicated procedural vote known as a rule. That has to pass in order to get an actual vote on these funding bills on the House floor. Now, that procedural vote is going to be a whole lot easier said than done. Not only will Democrats not vote for it, but Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna is threatening to hold the whole process up if the voter ID bill known as the SAVE Act isn't attached to the spending bills. Still, though, Speaker Johnson is confident it'll all get worked out.
Call now. Demand your congressman and senator pass the SAVE Act. 202-224-3121. Add the SAVE Act to the government funding bill. Please call 202-224-3121. John Bound report.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith sitting in for Alex, and I'm happy to be here today because I get to talk to Dr. Pete Chambers. Dr. Pete Doc Chambers is a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, Special Forces Green Beret, and a physician with a distinguished 39-year military career, including combat deployments as a Special Operations Flight Surgeon where he earned the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star, and other honors for his service and leadership under fire. He's now running as a Republican candidate for governor of Texas in the 2026 election. Doc Pete brings his proven service, servant leader ethos, emphasizing border security, liberty, transparency, and bold action to restore Texas as a stronghold of freedom. You can go to his website, docpetechambers.org. Follow him on X at docpete4texas. That's docpete4texas and at docpetechambers. Dr. Chambers, welcome to the show.
Good to see you. Great to meet you.
Well, very, very nice to meet you too. And I could not agree more with your sentiment that it's time to restore Texas as a bastion of freedom. We were just talking during the show. I'm so embarrassed at Texas these days. We are so failing to uphold our reputation as a bastion for freedom and independence and individuality. What is going on?
Right. So this is a hybridized color revolution that's taking place. But I cannot, in good conscience, not mention it by not mention principalities and rulers of darkness.
Right.
Right. Because this is a spiritual fight. And so this is, to have that understanding, you got to understand this isn't about Bible thumping. This is about the reality of the universe. That
right.
There is a Lord. There is a Savior in my book. My Savior is Jesus Christ, right? So for me, I have to include that. Now, as a Green Beret, retired Green Beret, I served as an 18 Alpha for a little while, which is a Green Beret commander, right? Flight surgeon, done a lot of stuff. 39 years, active guard and reserves. I've seen it all. Ronald Reagan was my first president when I was a private. So I've been in a while. And what I've seen take place now is a combination between the Cloward-Piven doctrine,
yep,
transfer migration. Michael Young calls it human osmotic pressure. When you have pandemics, famine, war, these things all come together. And the jewel, the gem of this is Texas.
Yeah.
Because as Texas goes, so goes the nation.
Right. And at this point, I mean, you just look at the electoral map. If Texas goes blue, that's it. And which is why the Democrats are so focused on Texas. I mean, demographically, electorally, they are pouring money and effort into turning Texas blue because they know that once that happens, that's it for basically any Republican candidate on the national stage.
And it is blue in certain places, right?
Right.
Now, we talked a little bit before the show. There's a periphery of Texas, the heart of Texas, if you will, deep in the heart of Texas.
Right.
And those people get it. They grew up here. These are sixth generations, fifth generation Texans, or people, even Californians that came here escaping, right? Newsom, yep, and that fiasco out there, which has been going on for years. Now they're here, and Californians are telling me on the trail, if you don't get in, we're out, and we're going to Florida. Now, you know, now we're transfer migrating,
right,
our citizens to other places. The Triangle of Texas, which is, you know, the 90-something percent of our GDP comes out of between Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio.
Right.
That's a huge IT sector zone.
Growing massively.
Growing. And so we're watching Silicon Valley move here. We've watched it. We brought them, not we, the current administration brought them here, lured them in with lots of, you know, lots of investment possibilities. But also, it's a land grab.
Yep.
It's happening to our citizens. I talked to a sixth-generation Texan up there in Nacogdoches. This is over water. And he's a rancher. Now, he's losing his ranch due to eminent domain. Right?
Right.
The land around where this reservoir is to be built is being bought up by foreign nationals.
Right. It's a big problem here. A
big problem.
Yeah. It's Chinese. We were talking about Colony Ridge. I want to get into that. I mean,
sure,
they are selling it out from under us. And, you know, it's so strange because if you look at the stats, you know, our birth rate is lower than replacement, yet we're building out neighborhoods so fast the wells are running dry in certain places in the Hill Country. I mean, there's an incongruity here that there's something missing.
We can't keep up with it. We are not at the precipice of that flipping over, right? That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this race. If I didn't think we could do it, I'd be going out to Montana somewhere and out in Idaho in the mountains with a bunch of Green Berets.
Right.
Right. But I'm not that guy because I understand unconventional warfare at its finest. And when I smell a color revolution and I know what they look like, I've seen it downrange. That's what's happening to us now. So I know where we're at in the phases of unconventional warfare, because it's really what that is. It's irregular warfare. It is unlimited warfare if you talk about the Chinese component to this.
Right.
It's one of the triangle to this thing. We've got the Chinese cartels, and then we've got the people that want to bring in Sharia law.
Mm.
All these things work together to destabilize, to disenfranchise Americans from each other.
Right.
Right. And then destabilize. And at that point, we reach about phase nine. If you're talking about Sharia law and the Islamification,
mm-hmm.
that's their phase nine. That's our phase seven on unconventional warfare. And now they've already infiltrated. They've developed their lily pads. They've got their cultural assignments to neighborhoods now where street signs and Richardson's are in, you know, you got Muhammad Road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the normal steps.
Yeah.
So when you don't see it from the 40,000 foot view, you can miss out on the attack. And that's why I'm here once again.
Yeah, and it seems so. I know recently in Alabama there was some plan. I can't remember if it was Hindu or Muslim, but they were planning to build some. You know, they're calling it similar to Epic City, which was right. one they were trying to do in Texas. And luckily, they were able to stop it in Alabama because everybody showed up to the city council meeting and demanded that it not pass, and so it didn't pass. But it's like they're going to try again. They're going to reform the plans and try again, and they're going to keep pushing. So it's like this is not a sustainable strategy of getting everybody to come out and protest and say no, and then it gets defeated, and then it just comes back the next month. It's like eventually they'll break through.
Right.
So what can we do to permanently say, look, we're not going to have these ethnic enclaves of Sharia law that don't abide by American law.
Sharia
we can't
law,
have this.
Colony Ridge, all these things create instability. So what we have to do is. Those are little skirmishes in this battle. And this is not kinetic, right?
Right.
Now, they can turn kinetic. When I speak to Andrew Bridgen, a member of parliament in Great Britain, and he's calling his own city Londonistan.
Yeah.
Right? He's a member of parliament. He's out now, but he's a friend. And he says, the only thing that you have different that we don't have here in Great Britain, you have the Second Amendment. Keep
right.
it.
Yeah.
That's a warning. So when we look at that, what can we do different? We've got to hold our legislators' feet to the fire. Now, when we look at this exigent circumstance that we're in right now, right?
Mm.
Then we have to look at the Constitution of the state of Texas. We have to read the job description of the governor. This is an old version of it. I keep it. Family gave it to me. And we look at the job description. Number one, responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen. I'm adding my army flair to it with regard to the budget. Number two, this is the most important one because of where we're at. Commander in chief of all Texas forces, Air Guard, State Guard, National Guard, Ground Forces. We've got the 30th largest army in the world in Texas
in
reserve. Add to that DPS, Department of Public Safety. Add to that Texas Rangers. Highly esteemed unit, right? America, everybody knows about Texas Rangers. I went to Germany and they're like, are you a Texas Ranger? I'm like, no, I'm not. But I wear a hat.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
But here's the deal. If you're the commander-in-chief of that, that comes with a tall order. There's a responsibility there.
Absolutely.
And if you don't go by Article 4, Section 7 of the state constitution, which says it's incumbent upon the governor, I'm paraphrasing, to defend the borders of Texas against all enemies, right?
Yeah.
This isn't the oath. This is your order. If you don't, if I read this and I don't do that, I'm derelict of duty.
Right.
Now, if you don't take the advice from your advisors, and I was an advisor to the current governor twice during my 8-year tenure in the Texas National Guard after I left active duty. If I give this instruction, and as Ezekiel 33 says in the book, I'm a watchman. And what do I do when I'm a watchman? I sound the alarm. And when we sound the alarm, if our commanders don't listen to us, it's on their head.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to be a told-you-so kind of guy, but I'm going to be the kind of guy that if you put me in that position of commander-in-chief, and then, it's not just a one-trick pony, right? But you've got to take that job serious because it's number two in your job description.
Right.
Otherwise, we don't get there. So what else can people do? We hold our legislators' feet to the fire. We're watching right now as Tarrant County just flipped a seat on the Senate district. Now, they're going to go back that's a special election, and they're going to go back into November and allow that to come back to completion. But what are we looking at? The most, probably one of the most red cities in Texas. This is historic. The nation's talking about it right now.
Right.
We just lost an election since back in the 80s, I believe.
It's been Republican that whole time,
Been Republican that whole time.
Yeah.
People are sick and tired of status quo, complacency, apathy, and a leadership that is focused more on being the 8th to 9th largest economy in the world, which Texas is. It's great. But how are you doing that when we're the 40th out of 50 in education?
Right.
How are you doing that when you're taxing our middle class out where 40% of Texans don't own a home right now?
Right.
Our taxes are number 6 in the nation on property. Our schools are upside down. We've got so much money in school bonds. There's multiple problem sets. So now we got to look at what happened during COVID. I'm going to bring that in because I think this is going to help. during COVID, what happened was, from a information operation side and then also from an unconventional side, you put the nation, not in cognitive dissonance, that's just a minimization. At this point now, we've gone through a Stockholm syndrome.
Right.
Right? So now you fall in love with your captors because they start giving you things back. Oh, you don't have to stand 6 feet. You don't have to wear the mask. Okay, the shots aren't a mandate anymore. I lost my job over that on the border when I protected 3,000 Texas sons and daughters in uniform from taking the shots and had to testify in a federal court case to get the mandates to drop. So now when you're looking at that, you're going, wait a minute, Stockholm syndrome, Doc, what are you talking about? I'm talking about falling in love with your captor. So when I'm your hostage rescue team guy coming in and you're grabbing their leg going, no, I don't want to go. I'm like, follow me if you want to live. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you over my shoulder. Right?
Right.
That's the reality of the world because there's a reality and there's an optic.
Yeah.
Guess what? I live in the real world.
Yeah. And that's been a glaring problem with the Abbott administration. And I got a couple ways to ask this, yeah. But right now, obviously, the left is making hay out of the flipping of this seat, which I believe flipped our legislature, right? So we're not even Republican.
I didn't look majority. At the overall numbers. I've been on the trail, but I'm going to look at it.
I wasn't sure.
Last night.
But basically, they're celebrating this and going, look, Republicans are losing races. But I find if you look at polls, if you look at Rasmussen, if you look at this stuff, it's not that the Republican ideas that are unpopular. It's the politicians that don't fulfill the promises that they make, right?
Bingo. When it comes to economy, I listened to Catherine Austin Fitz. She said something really profound and it stuck with me. And you could fit it on any dynamic, any paradigm. She said, we don't have an economic problem. We have a political problem.
Mm.
It fits into anything.
Right.
Order, political.
Yep.
Right. Our food, the war on our food, the war on our health, the spraying in the skies, whatever it is, the problem is, ends up always, always, always going back to the political problem and its weakness.
Yep.
Right. Number one diagnosis I gave to weak soldiers. I'm like, you're weak.
Right. Right.
Right. Weakness.
And the Republicans right now are weak. And so, you poll people about, do you want deportations? 65% of America says yes. The Republicans aren't fulfilling that. And so a lot of people are going, screw the Republican. I'm not going to vote Republican. They don't do anything for me. So, and then that's interpreted as, oh, the Republicans are losing steam. The liberals are popular. But actually people want real Republicanism, not what we're getting with Greg Abbott, not the rhino stuff.
Well said. And here's a insider information on that one. 4 years ago, my team, my sergeant major and I, and a few other people, briefed the governor's team. 4 years ago, not the governor himself, his team. If you don't do this with regard to the 120 countries that are coming across right now on the border,
yeah,
during the Biden administration, right? Trump came in, thank God, we got a tourniquet on that problem. If we don't do this, which means declare foreign terrorist organization, transnational criminal organization, if we don't make these declarations and... Right, this is a logical statement now, and you do not give us authorities. That's the teeth in the strongly worded letter. If you don't give me authorities, it's just a strongly worded letter.
Right.
My sergeant major, good old boy from Louisiana, Cajun, he says, well, if we don't put some carcasses of cartels in this room right here, we're going to be in trouble. I said, all right, sergeant major, that's good. We're briefing the governor's staff. Everybody's shaking. But the reality is that my first day on the border, and I looked across from Roma into Miguel Alemán, which is a town on Mexican side, run by Cartel del Noreste. Mm. And there were bodies hanging upside down under the bridge with heads cut off, with signs on them saying, we didn't pay the tax.
Right.
The cartels to cross.
God, and that's
there's
just
no
across the border.
Negotiating with barbarians.
Wow.
If we don't get serious about this, governor, staff, in 4 years, this is where we'll be. Now we're leading up into a primary. The governor just recently declared FTO for Muslim Brotherhood and the CARE organization, right? But he did that, I believe, because he's heading into a primary.
Right.
There's no teeth in that strongly worded letter. People are tired of optics. That's an optic. I saw it every day on the border.
Yep.
Now, God bless my troops on there in Operation Lone Star. We all thought we were doing something until our orders came down. They said, if the cartel shoots at you, here's your rules of engagement. Get in your Humvees and drive away. Well, I'm sorry. William Barrett Travis, remember that name, the Alamo, 24 February 1836. He'd be rolling over in his grave.
Absolutely. No, it's infuriating. And again, we have to recognize that, like, that is right there. That's right across the border. And there's nothing stopping America from devolving into that except for Americans fighting back against it. There's nothing magical about the American soil that means that we'll never have decapitated corpses hanging above our street lamps. We could easily devolve into that, and we are, the more the cartels, you know, make their inroads. Why do people not understand the threat of that?
Yeah, we live in a world of comfort.
Oh.
Right? We live in a world of comfort, and that's good. But those kind of times breed weak men. Weak men and weak, constitutionally weak men and women that are in charge. They didn't learn the same principles I did in 1983 when my Vietnam vet instructor told me, Private Chambers, if you're ever in command, you're responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen. They didn't learn it that way. Doesn't make me better. Just made me a kid that understood that.
Right.
Now I'm looking at it and I'm holding that same marker to against these people, that same metricity, and it's not happening.
Yeah.
Because now I know them and I can see the weakness and I can see the fear, and they don't do anything. For the most part, there's some good ones up there. And I say up there, over there in Austin. But here's the deal. They don't make a decision without a poll. Without discussion. Right? Without discussion. Long discussion. And how does this poll and how does this look? Otherwise, they would have listened to us the first go around. We wouldn't have the lily pads of whatever you name it. Colony Ridge, Sharia law. All those things are just vectors.
Mm.
Right? We got to get the Hegelian dialectic out of it. It, because that creates it's a dialectic. There's half truths.
Mm.
Half truths are half lies, right? We need to look at the reality of it and do a true information preparation to understand the threat vectors and how do we counter those.
Yeah.
We can do it. We did it in Syria. Green Berets went in there and in short time, President Trump opened the door and said, go shut down ISIS. And he did it because we found them. We fixed their locations. We finished them. Now, in this case here, it's going to be law enforcement driven. It's not going to be kicking doors like that, but it could be.
Right.
But we don't want it to get kinetic because that's the thing that I'm going to tell you. War is insanity that's tangible. You don't want that here.
Right. And that's what we keep saying. I mean, whether it's what's happening in Minnesota or, I mean, any or the Russiagate stuff, it's like we are just begging the powers that be, the lawful authorities, to do their damn job and make us safe, because we don't have to live with chaos. We don't have to live under this anarcho-tyranny, but we're also desperate to avoid what we know to be just absolute devastation if a kinetic war were to ever start in America. I mean, it's the people who actually have seen that and understand that, and myself, even just like the idea of it, it's like, we don't want that. Meanwhile, you've got a bunch of disconnected blue-haired weirdos who think, you know, let's start a civil war. It'll be fun. It's like we're just desperate to avoid that by having the authorities do their damn jobs and enforce the law.
That's it. You know, remember the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson, right? He's a soldier like me, and he's been through war, some Indian, French, and American Indian War. And he was the last one to want to have to go to 1776, you know, declaration, et cetera, that came with that.
Yeah.
Because the hard part isn't the declaration. The hard part is getting to the Constitution.
Right.
And then after. Right. And so for me, I see that and I don't want that here. And I look at those anarchists, if you will. Mm-hmm. I've already had one charge me in Georgetown, an Antifa guy on the stage. We're doing our thing. He comes running out, got his dark glasses on. It's nighttime. Come on, bro. Anyway, because they want chaos. Oh, yeah, they're crazy. They want chaos, but they don't realize what they're trying to do. They're putting themselves in the same place of Hitler's brown shirts, and they took them out once Hitler came into power.
Right, and it is literally the same every single time. It's always that first, shock troops, they end up with their head necks in the guillotine. As soon as they get done killing everybody they wanted to kill, their necks are chopped next. Yeah, it's like a fact of nature. And, you know, part of the frustration is, you know, things like Trump and ISIS or Trump and the border. It's like, yeah, you can just order things to happen. And the whole time we're talking about, oh, we have to pass this bill, and because Trump didn't want to pass it, that's why the border is insecure. It's all a lie. It's just a decision being made or not. And in this case, it wasn't being made, and then Trump made it. Same thing with ISIS. They didn't want to defeat them. They wanted to play games. They wanted to co-opt the, you know, revolutionaries in this way. I mean, it's all a scam. Trump comes in and just goes, kill them, and they get killed, and then the threat is over. Where is that decisiveness when it comes to the governors?
Right now in the state of Texas, we do not have that.
Right.
We don't. I respected the man. I got out of active duty 2015, the same year he became governor, right? So I grew up under him in Texas, you know, as my commander in chief.
Right.
Texas National Guard. We have a large, robust special operations units in Texas. And I had hope. But right. Like I used to tell my guys, hope is not a plan.
Right.
You got to execute. And so at this point, when a bunch of folks in North Texas Bonham came to me and said, would you run for governor? And I said, no, I'm not interested. Right. When and I'll pray about it. And I did, and this is where I'm at. So obviously, you know, there's a perception that took place in my part that led me to where I'm at. And as we did our feasibility study, we started talking to other people, and in General Flynn and to Alan West, who ran before, and they say, well, we've got to keep pushing.
Yeah.
You're forcing function at least to push truth. Because the bottom line is not whether I'm the governor or not. I call it the senior public servant. I told Mr. Bannon the other day, I said, I don't like governor. It's too British. I said, I like senior public servant. I'm going to change that on an executive order. And I'm going to be a term limit guy, too, because there's no fiefdoms allowed here. But this is the fight I'm in because it's about public service. The center of gravity, this is one of the key things that Green Berets look at. What's my center of gravity when I go into an area? If it's the Afghan-Pak border, I got to understand the culture so I can understand the people, which is the center of gravity.
Right.
Unfortunately, our legislators look at my career, largest economy, what can I bring in, and possibly money, ideology, coercion, and ego, what can I make from it?
Right.
Hey, some of them are like that. They're straight up. Let's just be honest. But here's the deal. When you're a public servant, once again, the greatest of these is a servant. So you've got to give up on the me.
Mm-hmm.
And be thinking about the
what's
power is inherent in the people.
Yeah.
It's in the Texas Constitution. Right? It's in the Bill of Rights. All power is inherent in the people. If I believe that and I take an oath, then I believe that. And that's hard for people to understand, but I've bled for our U.S. Constitution.
Right.
I put 21 Americans in a body bag and sent them home in a dignified transfer over our oath to the U.S. Constitution. That stuff we don't take lightly.
Right.
I think that's where we're at. We're getting into that hard times now where you need those kind of people to come in and say, no, we're going to take a stand.
Absolutely.
That's kind of the closing the loop on why I'm here.
Yeah, well, and you know, a lot of Republicans think they need to moderate in order to appeal to Democrats to try to get some cross. But like the reality is what we need right now is people like yourself driving the conversation more rightward. And if nothing else, forcing Governor Abbott to at least make some moves to compete with you on that footing.
To protect our citizens, number one. That's the baseline for everything. You don't take a base camp downrange without having security first. Right?
Absolutely.
Security. After that, fiscal security, taxes. You're taxing the middle class out, bro. Check it out.
They absolutely are. More on the other side with Doc Chambers. Don't go anywhere, folks. You're not going to want to miss it.
Our medical grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultramethylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance,
sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, folks, welcome back. Sorry, we're a little delayed there. Doc Chambers and I talking Texas history, our favorite subject. Doc Pete Chambers is my guest. You can find his website at docpetechambers.org. Follow the campaign at docpete4texas. That's number 4, docpete4texas, and docpetechambers on X. We're just having such a good conversation. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to the political stuff here. You mentioned Florida earlier, that people in Texas who came here expecting it to be, you know, this bastion of liberty are going, eh, maybe Florida's a better option. Why is it that Ron DeSantis seems so capable of doing so much? This goes back to what I was asking earlier, where we see examples where Donald Trump can just shut the border with the signature. And it just shows you we could have done this at any point. And it seems like with Greg Abbott, it's just like, what are you doing, man? Why can he not be more like Ron DeSantis? What is it about Ron DeSantis that he seems capable of taking on these really important topics where Governor Greg Abbott is just, he's lost. I don't know where the hell he is. He's not doing anything for us.
Right. No, the biggest joke for us on the border was, let's just wait for a little while and see what DeSantis does.
Right.
Figure out what's going to happen to us. Even during COVID response, I mean, you know, one of the earliest states to put masks on, and it's all fear-based, right? It's always fear-based. And then the secondary thing to come in is kind of, what is it that we can gain? You know, anytime you declare an emergency, and the Texas is really bad about this, you declare an emergency, 75% of those funds come in from the federal government,
right,
for that emergency. If we don't pull those emergencies down, local municipalities can then increase local taxes. Right now it's 3.5. It was 8%. So when Governor Abbott says, well, it's not me that's doing it, it's the local people. Well, you've committed the original crime, and now the second and third order effect are what's happening at the local level.
Right.
So we got to watch those things. That's the measuring twice to cut once thing. And so when I see that and I go, well, why are we following him? Why are we following DeSantis? Because he's just an action guy, right?
So right.
We need action figures right now. We really do. You know, with a kung fu grip.
Yeah, yeah.
We really need to be serious about what we're doing, because without action, it's complacency. It's allowed for vacuums to take place. And the enemy will never let a good emergency go to waste. We heard that during the Obama administration.
Yep.
Rahm Emanuel said that. Never let a good emergency. Well, that's actually Saul Alinsky, which is, you know, the Bible of Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
Well, these are rules for radicals. They will always look for those vacuums, and they will slide right in, just like ISIS and Syria we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's just not human nature, but it's a demonic nature that really is what, you know, what is pushing that. But that is where that is.
Yeah.
Right? And so guys like me, We look for that and we go, okay, those are the seams and gaps of chaos. We've got to close those gaps like a football game. You know,
right.
We're going to go through which slot. Okay, we're looking for that. Right? We're always looking for that. But that's how you run government.
Right. And you got to have initiative. You can't always be looking around going, oh, well,
ask the people in West Texas who are dealing with AI data centers.
Right.
How long is it before the Ogallala Aquifer underneath West Texas? We're talking about Amarillo down to Lubbock. Cotton farmers are going to be out of business here. By 2050,
right.
No water is going to be a thing if we keep allowing Microsoft or whoever to come in and take water to cool servers, right? So we can draw a picture of water, but we're not going to be able to drink it.
Right.
Come on.
That's a great
common sense.
No, it is insane. And it seems like, again, Texas has this reputation. We like to believe ourselves as, you know, these rugged individualists. But our government does not represent that, does not reflect that, and is so willing to bend over to these corporate interests, which, you know, we want to be a corporate hub. We want, you know, to be important and have these, but we don't want to lose our character in that. We don't want to lose who we are and what makes us great.
What are you doing for the next 30 days? Maybe you could come out of the Camp Trail with me and we could have a great time.
I'd love to.
Especially eighth generation techs. We have to explain to them what this is.
Mm.
This is everything that is dear to the American character.
Right.
William Barrett Travis, right? And that didn't end too well, right? San Jacinto, 18 minutes, right? That's the kind of Texans we're looking for.
No.
18 minutes. Give us 18 minutes so we could change this republic, if you will, and give it back to the people.
Right. Take a look at the Alamo and, you know, you talk about odds. You talk about, you know, you might look around Texas and go, ah, gee, we're losing the battle here against these forces of destruction and chaos. But you look at the Alamo and they lost the battle, but they won the war through that because they gave their friends time to, you know, get the defense ready. It was a necessary, waylaying action. And they were willing to give their life because they knew that it was worth it, that there was a plan in place, that if they could just hold off Santa Anna for this little much longer, then Sam Houston would be able to rally the troops and victory would be achieved. It feels like we need that. We need that ultimate goal where we go, I'm willing to sacrifice myself, but I got to know that it's worth it in the end.
But in that whole thing, here's the amazing part about it for our campaign on the tactics side of this.
Mm.
People say, well, you're going up against a $100 million war chest. Okay.
Right.
Right? It doesn't matter. What does matter is you bring them onto your battlefield. That's why Houston waited for them to go in that three-sided river place where they were taking their siesta and decide, let's go now.
Yep.
Because those are targets of opportunity. We didn't take a poll and say, well, what should we do? We went up against a larger force and created a republic.
Yep.
We're going up against a larger force, and we're going to give the republic back to the people.
Absolutely.
That's the most important thing. Because if otherwise, it's a corporatocracy that's going to be running Texas. And in many ways it is right now.
Right.
Medical care is one of the biggest topics for me as a guy that, you know, lost my job over doing informed consents. I mean, how ridiculous, but that's what I do, right?
Right.
Physicians, we tell people the good, the bad, and the ugly of something.
Right.
Then I go to a court case, SEALs versus Department of Defense, and defend the SEALs, right? So Green Berets once again defending SEALs, and here we are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, let's talk about that because you have so much, you have such a wealth of experience when it comes to your combat, deployments and leading people overseas in the most harrowing conditions. How does that inform the way that you approach politics? Obviously, it's seeped into a lot of your answers here, but you know, from a bird's eye view.
It's the experiences that, brought me to this point to say I look at things from looked at it from a geopolitical standpoint. Right down to a strategic standpoint, down to an operational standpoint, down to the tactical, where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
And to be able to operate in all those spaces, because nothing, taxes, security, food, water, none of it happens in a vacuum. It's all tied together.
Right.
And when you can operate in that space, that makes you completely dangerous to the Uniparty.
Mm.
Because now what? We got a guy that understands this stuff. Green Berets are not just, you know, war fighters. We are. But we're warrior diplomats.
Right.
I've negotiated with the King of Jordan. You know, I've had to brief the Speaker of the House of the United States. I mean, when you operate in that space, there's a lot that's expected from you. It's not the rank. It's the mission that they've given you because it is a zero defect environment.
Right.
Those missions are important. Right. Now, as a guy that was gifted with the best job in the world, which was taking care of those guys, I've seen young sergeants negotiating with generals from foreign countries that are Green Berets. Who understand the same way I do. I just have a little more years on them. That's all. Right. And so that's what makes the difference. Right. It's not about, you know, that's going to make me better. We We see a congressman down there in Houston that's, a SEAL, former SEAL that, did not stand up to what the Constitution really believes in. In my book, I actually talked about him sitting over that corner for the first time when we went up against the shots and I asked his office for help. This isn't about him, but I'm saying that military experience doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the greatest guy for the office, but can you do it? I know I can, but it has set me up so that I can see in that space.
Yeah.
Right. People call it 5D chess. That's not what that is. It's being able to see multiple silos of vacuums and saying they're not in a vacuum and putting it together. And then what does Aristotle said about the word politics? It's the polis, city state, and putting action to taking care of the people in the city state. So most politicians failed the very definition of politics.
Right.
Right. So I look at politics in the past and I even start my talk sometimes. All I got to do is say, hi, I'm Doc Chambers and I'm not a politician. And all of a sudden, the crowd goes wild. Right. But in that sense, they're looking at the bastardized name of it now.
Mm.
Right? We really are to do action, which means sometimes, just like Patton said, the perfect plan. We're not waiting for that. We need to plan to get out the door now.
Right.
Because do we have 4 more years? With all these vectors that we're talking about, the 3 main vectors that we talked about, do we have that? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But that's why we're here.
Yeah, we're definitely running out of time. And it seems like the division or the disconnect between sort of the uniparty establishment and the rest of us is they seem to think that the country is the economy. The country is the GDP. Right. And as long as that's going up, we're good. Whereas a lot of us are like, we're fine with the GDP going down. We want to survive. We want our family to thrive. We want to live in the happiness that we grew up in and not have it stolen from us just to raise the GDP. So, how do you see that division? How do you approach that topic?
Right. So the people that are happy about the GDP being there mostly are investors.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, if you look at, I'm going to use one example, which is Microsoft, Abilene, it's 246, I believe, million gallons of water being used there. Abilene, aquifer, the Ogallala, dry by 2050. Who made that decision, right? Well, if you look at the investors in that program, we're talking about BlackRock, Blackstone, Vanguard, Canadian investors, they're excited about this GDP.
I bet they are.
Look at drill, baby, drill. What doesn't happen without everything else to fall in place? We got to get rid of ESG and all those things. And there has been legislation that has been passed in the 88th session that protected us from those companies because they were pushing the ESG score stuff.
Right.
And the crazy carbon stuff. Guess what? There's a thing called photosynthesis. It's how we breathe. Like, suck it up. No more of this carbon bull crap. Right? We got to get rid of that.
Yeah.
But so now we're looking at that and we're going, okay, so where's the common sense in this? In the bell curve of America, if we look at common sense in the middle, and there's the left and the right, there's people on both sides of common sense. The reason that people are from the left even coming over me saying, we're going to vote for you is because you got common sense. You're going to help us out. You're going to stop mRNA vaccines in the state of Texas. You're going to put Fauci in jail. You're going to do all these things. You're going to hold people accountable for the crimes they committed. If there's elements of a crime, you got a victim, you got a perpetrator, we got to find out the intent. We're going to start putting those people in trial and jail in Texas if they're found guilty.
We have to do that. And some of the best victories we've had over the last couple of years have come at the state level. Whether it's states outlawing ESG or whatever it is, it's often so hard to move the giant battleship of the federal government. The state governments can be a lot more mobile and able to change. And of course, as the governor. You have a say a little bit over the legislature, but I know you were saying before we went live, really it's the bully pulpit that the governor can exploit to a maximum degree.
The number one tool in the armamentarium of what I've got, right? Because think about the fireside chats. I think this was during Roosevelt, but Reagan kind of did some of the same stuff because I was watching him really the first time I was paying attention to presidents, and we didn't have the phones and stuff to look at every day. But now when I'm speaking to people just about every day on a fireside chat, and I'm asking them, what do you want? Right. And they're screaming at me like I'm the guy that created the problem.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to get the answers for you. Right. But that's okay because that's citizen led governance. I'm willing to take a beating. I don't have emotions. I lost them in 1985, from a sergeant. All right. No more emotions on you, Chambers. So that's good. Right. You want somebody that can take that. Right. That's you have to be able to take that. A good commander will draw fire sometimes. But to be able to do that, we look at that bully pulpit and we say, what is it? Once again, Article 1, Section 2 of the Bill of Rights, All power is inherent in the people. Now, it goes on to say that they have the right to abolish that form of government. It's in our Texas Constitution. That's where, when in 1845, when they annexed Texas and D.C., some say illegally. I can't argue either way because I don't have enough details. But if they did that in 1845, why'd they allow us to keep this particular way that it's written that we could become a republic again? Now, people put it up from referendum, the Texas Nationalist Movement, a very large organization. Many people that are in the running right now have signed that Texas First Pledge, right? So that's a good thing. 600,000 members strong.
It's a good option.
But does that mean we're going to secede? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's the thing that keeps them scared.
Right.
Because what comes after Trump? I don't know. Who comes after Trump? I don't know. If we have another Obama come in, right? What are we going to do? Are we going to continue to take this? They need to know that we're serious about this Constitution. Mm. But when I talk to people and say, guess what? Rick Perry, when he was governor, it was two counties that got together first in what's called a 391 commission. Now, governors can have task forces and commissions that are mixed up between legislators and local citizens that are passionate. Right? 24 members can be on each one of those. And a commission on a 391, when those counties got together, Rick Perry wanted to build the Trans-Texas Corridor under NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. That was a road going from Mexico all the way through, starting in Texas, to Canada for trade. They didn't want it. It got shut down by citizens. When I say that in rooms, people are like, what? Why can't we do that? Because they don't want you to know what's right in your Constitution.
You can actually do it.
You can actually do it. The Texas Constitution is beautiful in this part, but it's got 100,000 words. The U.S. Constitution is 7,500. It's a legislative labyrinth because it's so long, so many referendums, so many amendments, right? But find the ones that work for us as the governor who knows those things and says, all right, let's do this. Texas, I want you to have a 391 commission, and I want you to stop this current whatever house when they're trying to push this stuff through, right? I pray that we have a good lieutenant governor, and I don't know much about Mr. Patrick. You know, I pray that he'll work alongside, but we've got to be able to work together.
Yeah.
Because the end state is not the GDP. The end state of his sovereignty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we need to point out, you know, there's a difference between what Minnesota and Minneapolis are doing, basically like kind of like soft secession, but because the ICE wants to deport illegals, it's like nothing about this is unconstitutional. Well, what are you even doing? Whereas, you know, what we're talking about is like, hey, there may come a time when the Democrats are so in power in D.C., they try to repeal the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, in which case, all right, now the states may it may be necessary for them to invoke the 10th Amendment, but it's just a completely different thing. Because I hear people talking about secession in terms of like Minnesota and stuff, and it's like that's not what we're talking about whatsoever.
Not at that stage, and we have to think about all the different things that we can do before that, but we've got to start thinking about it now. We should have been thinking about it 10 years ago, but we're actually having plans in place so we can do that. There should be coalitions of states, right? I'm talking to the next people that are going to probably be taking the Oklahoma government, or governor and lieutenant governor side. I'm already speaking to them about how can we work together so we can have a coalition of states, right? To work together to say, listen, we're going to take care of, you know, let's say illegal CDLs, right? Texas is terrible for it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the carrier driver's license.
Commercial driver's license,
it's commercial, but they call it something different, but it's commercial driver's license. We're talking about the big rigs.
Right.
Texas has given out hundreds of them, hundreds. When the Afghan shutdown happened, 400 or so were trained here. Many of those don't speak English.
Right.
Seeing those trucks crash, right?
Yeah, how are you going to read street signs? I mean, that's actually dangerous.
So Oklahoma's doing a pretty good job. They stopped them at their checkpoint.
And they're arresting them,
Texas is not. I don't know why. Right? DPS, they take their marching orders from the governor because he's their commander-in-chief as well. We've got to fix that, right? Because we want to knock down all these vectors. Listen, as a Green Beret, I'm going to tell you, you can move other things in those trucks that are dangerous.
Right.
If you don't trust those people that are moving it for you, we're talking about national fence issues now.
Oh, yeah.
Got to think that way.
And, I mean, these things are, you're driving a 15-ton rig down the, I mean, even one death from this is totally unacceptable. We don't need that risk on our roads. But obviously, this goes right into everything else that Governor Greg Abbott has failed to do in stopping the importation of H-1B visas, and this ties right into it. So clearly, he is very I don't know if he's controlled by, but is very, you know, friendly towards these, they call them body shops or job mills, where they're just bringing people over from overseas, pocketing a ton of money from it, and replacing American workers, especially American truck drivers. What is it about Greg Abbott that, like, he's just on the wrong side of all this stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what, I am not going to be traveling to India. I am not going to be traveling to Davos, right?
Good, yeah.
Right? This is not a thing. Texas first. There are borders. We got from the Gulf of Texas all the way to El Paso, the Red River to the Rio Grande. That's my operating area. And I'm responsible for my post, if you will, general right. order number one. I'll guard everything in the limits of my post. That's learned as a private. So now, if you look at that and say, you mentioned H-1Bs. There's a system out there. I want people to understand this, too, looking in this camera. Look at F-1 visas as well, because this is all the pipeline for that to happen. F-1 funnels it down into there. F-1 is the guy that comes over here, goes to school for a few years, graduates, and then becomes a teaching assistant, and then takes jobs on campus. A&M and UTA are guilty of this big time, right? And then the school doesn't have to pay to match the FICA score, so they make money because they're hiring these local, these graduates that are F-1 visas. Now they're going to have on the pipeline a rapid 36 months to be in an H-1B going towards their citizenship, taking Texans jobs in the IT sector primarily, also in finance, right? When we look at that, then we have to go backwards and say, well, what's the requirement? Well, there's a federal requirement for IT called Enterprise Applications SOX. I don't know what that stands for. But my staff, who's gone through this and fine-tuned comb, says we could teach that in our schools, 16-year-old kids up, give them a VoTech track for that. They come out of school, they take the jobs. I incentivize, let's say, American Airlines in Houston, in Dallas. All right, listen, I want you to hire more Texans. Oh, we got to have this enterprise applications. You got it now.
Right.
Graduate school with it, right? So those kids take the jobs. And if you don't, you get de-incentivized. What's your ratio of people that you hire that are Texans versus H-1Bs? Boom.
Yeah.
Now you're not going to be liking me too much as governor, right? Big corporation.
And these
love corporations, but we've got to be fair to our Texans.
Absolutely. What is a corporation comes here and brings everybody with them? It's like, what's the benefit to us? A little bit of tax money that goes to stuff we don't want it to go to anyway. It's like, there is no benefit. These are the two biggest schools in Texas. University of Texas at Austin and Texas A&M. They're the biggest universities by far in Texas, and they're selling out our future to foreigners.
And look up this one too. Permanent University Funds, PUFs. It is 1876 or so when they allowed those two universities to take 15% of the revenue that came out of public lands in West Texas on crude.
Wow.
Right? So those have been
That's
going
a
to those
lot
schools.
Of money.
Right? And some of that is to help out veterans, sons and daughters of Texas that go to those schools, called the Hazelwood Act, to let those kids go to those schools should they serve downrange and get wounded or do whatever. They served in combat. Those kids get that. Are you telling me that there's that many veterans in Texas that's taking up tens of billions of dollars a year? No. And then you're pushing woke DEI policies? Yeah, there's been some legislation on it, but we haven't stopped it. And our right. universities need to do better. And under the threat of losing those funds and then pushing that down into the school, public school levels, on high school and lower, that's really where we need to do that. Because our problem in education is 80% of our money goes into administrative costs.
Right.
So there's other ways to fix this, but you got to put the fear of God into people sometimes, and that would be one of them for those.
Right, because then that becomes leverage, where you're saying, look, you're getting tens of billions of dollars from this on the agreement that it's to help Texans, but if you're selling it out to F-1B.
You're pushing those, yeah. The F-1s and the H-1Bs, we're done with you.
Yeah.
Until you straighten up your act. But then the governor also appoints those boards of regents.
Mm.
It's appointees, what, 1,300 to 1,500 appointees the governor gets.
Wow.
I'll be bringing in my own friends.
Well, and it's time for a change. And I think, Governor Abbott has served for three terms. He's going for his fourth, right? Totally unprecedented.
President, right.
Why would he be the one to deserve a fourth term? And nobody I know likes him, but somebody's got to like him apparently. But you would think that the fourth term, an unprecedented fourth term, would be some great leader that we all love so much. But he just seems like he's unwilling to leave.
You shall know them by their fruits. Okay? Another word. And as you look at that, you say, well, what is it that I've seen? This is what I've seen. I've seen cronyism. I've seen lineages. I've seen anointed people that move up in the ranks really quickly.
Yep.
Did you fall from the Karl Rove side, the Bush side, or are you a Trumpy side? You got
right.
the Bushies and the Trumpies, essentially. And you look at that and you say, well, if we're status quo and we keep going the way we're going, I enjoy it, just like I was talking about corporations enjoying the complacency. I enjoy it when I am a buddy of this, right? I'm a part of this cronyism, to then be able to receive something. So when I meet people that are billionaires, and I say, well, if you want to help us out, you can. They're like, no. What I suspect is they don't want to lose the deal they've got.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
But Texans in general don't get that deal.
Right.
Most of my donations come in the form of $18.36. That's a button on my site.
That's great.
Right? And so that's most of our donations. And so that tells me that not only we're beyond grassroots, we're organic.
Right.
They're the people doing my posts. I'm not paying for, I would get impressions, but we're getting millions of impressions by the posts out there because we're in a different era.
Yeah.
On Facebook. We film it every time we go out. I might talk to 100 people in a room the other day. What was 100 something people in a room in Lindsay, north of Tyler? And literally 31,000 people are looking at it. It's not the same.
That's amazing.
In 24 hours.
There's so much that is really unmoored our political system, and that is an amazing one. It's really a great opportunity to bust the establishment, not let them appoint people who we get to pick and choose from, but rather from the grassroots, people that are the real deal. We're out of time already. I can't even believe it. This is flown by DocPeteChambers.org, at DocPete4Texas on X. He's also at DocPeteChambers. Final thoughts. What can people do to help?
Get on the site. We need $18.36 times 10 million. Right.
For people that don't know, that's the Texas version of 1776,
right.
1836, the year we declared independence.
That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
So that's what we need. And we need volunteers. We've got a bunch. We need more.
Well, anything we can do, I'm looking forward to Governor Chambers.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.